What's going on, folks? And thank you for tuning in with me to another edition of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And, of course, I am your host, the man they call Ghost. And once again, folks, I want to thank you very much for tuning in with me. Hope you had a good weekend, folks. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody this is episode number 620. That's right, folks, episode number 620 for all the folks that are keeping track of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And before we get into anything, I'd like to ask each and every one of you that are listening to the broadcast to please spread this show link around like wildfire, right? Spread this show link around like wildfire throughout the internets and throughout the world. And let everybody you know, let them all know that True Capitalist Radio is in effect and in the house. And we are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas, U.S. time, right here on the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. Once again, type this in your browser, add this to your bookmarks, add this to your favorites. The following, ghost.report, all right? That's the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. Ghost.report is the official website. And not only do you get to hear me live, folks, we got an archive out there, so if you happen to miss a broadcast, if you happen to haven't heard some of the past broadcasts, by all means, they're all there for your download and pleasure, all right? And once again, before we get into anything else, I'd like to ask everybody to please follow me on my only social media representation on the internet today, and that's on Gab, folks, all right? And if you don't have a free Gab account, well, then go get yourself one. And once you do so, go ahead and follow me under the name Politics Ghost, all right? All one word, no underscores. Politics Ghost is the name to follow on Gab, okay? And once again, folks, I want to thank everybody who is in the True Capitalist Radio chat room. What's going on, folks? Thank you guys for tuning in with me on this Monday edition of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. Let's get some shout-outs to the chat room. What's going on to the God of Rage? What's going on? What is this? Miss Ford's Meat Board? What the hell does that mean? We got Metaform in the house. Man Bear Pig. Jingo Bert in the place. Holden Capitalist. Herb Capitalist. Hawk Late Milk. We got Hans Uberlander. Capitalist America. And aesthetic equals punching bag. That's horrible. I don't want to talk about what happened to you, aesthetic. But it happens. It happens. You get into a little bit of a club sucker punch situation, and it sucks, man. And what's going on to Saber, who also happens to be listening into the broadcast? Capitalist America just came in. Death to Bureaucrats just came in. And whoever else that I didn't get to, thank you very much for tuning in with me. This is a Monday edition, episode number 620. The date is September 24th, 2018. What's up, Curly McWhirly? How you doing? And we're going to go ahead and get right into the show. Now, what I want to talk about a little bit before I get into the cryptocurrency and the stock component of the broadcast, I want to talk a little bit about where we are in America at this point as it relates to civility. And what do I mean by that, folks? Well, as you can see on the other side and the left, you're seeing or hearing, both seeing and hearing, nothing but a bunch of resistance, calls to violence, rising up. I mean, even at the supposed highest levels of the leftist political platform in America, I mean, the Democrats, I mean, even these legitimate members of Congress that are Democrats are saying the same types of things, uprising to violence, confronting people in the streets, harassing people, stalking people. We heard it from Maxine Waters. We've heard it from Nancy Plastic Face Pelosi. We've heard it from Chuck Kick the American People in the Ball Schumer. And listen, I know that myself, I've been also a little bit hot-headed as of late and said that, hey, we need to go cut these people off at the pass. You know, I may have said some things that, you know, it's just in the heat of the moment, unfortunately. But one thing that I do would like to see before my life is done on this earth is a sense of civility like we used to have at one point in time in America. Now, I've lived a good long time, folks, and I can remember the 80s, maybe even some of the 90s, but the 80s in particular, okay, because that was like literally the last bastion of American capitalism, American freedom, just being shown off to the world. We were the envy of the world in the 80s. And not to mention, everybody in America was employed, gainfully employed. Lots of money just being circulated around in America. And I remember very vividly, I had a home in the 80s. I had a, you know, I've always had a home, but I had a home in a subdivision at that particular time. And I remember every time I would do something outdoors, you know, in the front yard, I remember specifically there was a lunar eclipse in the sky, and it was going to be one of those long lunar eclipses that you could basically see the entire eclipse throughout the evening. And I was, you know, I know many people may not, you know, agree with me, or this may be a shock to people, but I was actually into space and astronomy and all that crap. I bought a telescope, and during the lunar eclipse, that's what I did. I went outside. It was in the 80s. Went outside with the children out there, started looking up in the sky, directing this telescope at the moon. And it was a spectacular view. As a matter of fact, if you have not seen the moon in a from a telescope perspective, it's pretty amazing. It's a pretty neat thing to see. But the reason I bring this up is because back then, when people saw me from their homes, that I was coming out, taking a look up in the sky, had a telescope, everybody came out and was friendly. I mean, there was no such thing, at least from my perspective. Maybe it was in different parts of the country. But there was a level of civility out there where neighbors would come out and greet and salutate one another and be able to kind of look at everyone's back. And I mean, there wasn't an amount of hatred, just haterade like we have today. I mean, people hate people today for the most dumbest things, whether it's coveting thy goods, whether it's, this person thinks that they're better looking, and, you know, oh, look at the way they do their hair, all this crap. And the one most potent thing in today's framework of conversation is politics. And you know something, folks? Even when, during those days in the 80s, I was obviously pro-Reagan, and a lot of people weren't, for whatever reason. A lot of people were not pro-Reagan. I mean, it was a great time. I don't know why everybody was bitching in the 80s. I mean, it was probably one of the most safest times. Going back to the lunar eclipse telescope story, everybody in the street that I lived in came out, and they some of them have children. They brought them out. They were all looking through the telescope. Some people potlucked out there, brought some stuff out there for us to eat, finger foods. You know, some people bought some beer, etc. And, you know, the whole neighborhood, the whole damn street hung out outside up until like 3 in the morning. Even the children were kind of hanging out outside. We were looking at the lunar eclipse. I mean, it was safe. There was an element of civility back then. It's not that crime didn't exist. It's not as if people that were sick were not there. It just wasn't as prevalent. And people didn't have such hater perspectives on one another. I mean, it seems to me that most people in this country, actually in most Western civilizations, they try to find something so that they can cause conflict or cause drama. And that's one thing that I cannot understand with these modern generations, that they're just so glommed onto drama. And they'll create it amongst themselves, they'll create it amongst other people. And I think that this is where we are finding ourselves in a very bad social quagmire in America today. Because I don't understand why we can't go back to civility. It's as if we can't have some level of political dialogue and be pro-America. Because look, I want to be honest with you folks. Let's talk about the politic of today's country. You have us on the right. Well, with the exception of the white nationalists and these fucking alt-right idiots that want to bring back the Fourth Reich or whatever the fuck they want to do. But I'm talking about those of us on the right that have common sense and that love America, all right, that are Americana, that are capitalist. All we want is civility. We are pro-American. We want the best for our country. We want the best for our community. We want the best for our children. And that's what it comes down to, at least for the majority of us. And you see, when you look on the other side, in the left, you don't see that. Today's leftists, they hate this country. today's leftists, they want to do whatever it takes to destroy this country. Open borders. I mean, embracing illegal immigrants, embracing and protesting for criminals, sexualizing our children. I mean, this is the foundation of the left today. Whatever happened to liberals, okay, and leftists in America, that even though they may be against our perspective on the right, on how to achieve what's best for America, it was for America. And it wasn't for this globalist. And look, folks, you can obviously tell on the left there's an obvious globalist push by the left, whether they know it or not, whether they're consciously aware of it or not. Open borders equals globalism, folks. Just like the president says, if you have no borders, you have no country. And if you have no country, then you become a globalist society. You begin to become a citizen of the world, which is exactly what the Communist Manifesto defines. And you see, what I'm missing on the left in America today is a left-wing perspective that is pro-Americana. And maybe we disagree, the left and myself, we disagree on the methods for which we want to make America better. But I want a left, and there's nobody on that other side that wants to make America better. That's the modus operandi of their political ideology. America, their communities, keeping it safe, you know, making sure that it's clean, you know, making sure that we're protecting children, things of that capacity. And folks, that's not what the left has. There's not one liberal on that side that views things from a liberal or leftist perspective, but they want to keep it to America. For instance, let me give you one example. Let's say that you're a leftist, but you're an Americana leftist, and you genuinely care about the country, but you don't like to see the poor in America. Right? And, you know, we could have debates about that, but you're just somebody that's a genuine liberal. You care about the poor. So you're going to want to advocate that the American poor in the American society get some kind of cut of this big, huge budget that we have as a United States country allocated to the poor. And not allocated like they did with Obama, allocated to the poor to subjugate them. I'm talking about a welfare system that is a safety net for everybody, but for a temporary amount of time. But no, you know what these leftists do. They understand bureaucratic systems. And they know the bigger the bureaucratic system, the more they can micromanage of your life. And the more they can micromanage of your life, well, then the bigger the system becomes. And those that work within those bureaucratic systems, they're the ones that get the lifetime job for 40 or 50 years. They're the ones that get the retirements for, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month once they retire. And you see, this is what the left in America is about, folks. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about me. They don't give a shit about this country. And that's what I can't believe. I can't believe that we don't have a left that is in opposition of us. And listen, I'm not saying that we should go on to the left. I'm not saying that we should agree with the left. But the left in America today should at least encompass the appreciation and the progress of this country. And the left today is not doing that by embracing a bunch of illegal immigrants, open borders, embracing criminals, sexualizing children, and now, folks, and we're going to talk about this later on, they're trivializing rape. They're utilizing rape and the cries of rape for political purposes. I mean, what the hell is this left that is in American politics today? What is the modus operandi? Not to mention, what is the end goal? And the more and more you look, folks, the end goal is globalism. And that's the true enemy. Globalism. this bureaucratic system that has been trying to unearth itself for the past 150, 200 years. Globalism, the erosion of national sovereignty, the consolidation of nation states, the centralization of world power. That's what this is all about. That's why these people sell their souls on the left to embrace this, because they one day believe, well, they'll be a part of the globalist bureaucratic infrastructure. I mean, why is it that we can't have an American left that cares about America? That cares about our country? You know, the left today wants to destroy this country. Why isn't there a left that wants to utilize high government spending and all the social, you know, handouts and entitlements to progress the country? You know where the left lost themselves was during Barack Obama. Barack Obama, remember back in 2008, he was supposed to ring in this era of leftism that was going to care about America. Because remember, we were suffering from a economic contraction and a almost damn near economic collapse. And Obama was supposed to come in and he was supposed to help everybody, remember? And I'm challenging each and every one of you that were leftists back then, advocating for this idiot. He spent $10 trillion during his tenure from 2008 to 2016. $10 trillion. That's more money in one presidential term than all presidential terms combined before Obama. And what the hell does America have to show for it? Where the hell did Mr. Barack Obama, American liberal, spend that $10 trillion? He sure as hell didn't give it to the people that are out here pissing and moaning today, these mindless morons that are getting paid $10 an hour to protest for the left. They sure as hell didn't go to the poor in America. It sure as hell didn't go to the black folk in Chicago. It didn't go to those that are impoverished all over America today. It went right into the fucking banks, the Wall Street banksters, the freaking corporations that they like to claim they're against. Everybody that donated to the campaign contribution account of Barack Obama and the Democrats got paid. They got $10 trillion of that is now on our national debt. Listen, I was against government. I'm still against government spending. But by God, if we were going to have a fucking leftist, if we were going to have a Democrat that was going to put $10 trillion on our national debt, they should have spent it on American fucking people. Where is the Americana from the left? Are all the left a bunch of godless globalists? All of them, not just here in America. You look at the left in every Western civilization. They hate Western civilization, and yet they're basking in its success. They're basking in the fruits of Western civilization. And this, in my opinion, folks, is where we have to counteract the left at this point. Those folks that are center of left, those folks that are independent, you have to understand that what you think Democrats are today, what you think the left is today, is not. It is not pro-American. It is not pro-American citizen. It is not pro-poor. It is not pro-minority. It's a globalist edifice. It is a mechanism of deconstructing this goddamn country so that we are forced to accept globalism, just like all those European countries that are forced to accept the European Union. The European Union is already told the member states of the European Union that their borders are open. You have no country. It's all consolidated in the EU. The EU is going to have its own army if it already doesn't have it already. They're talking about EU nukes. The consolidation of power. The idea of micromanaging mass populations. This is what leftism is today. And that's why I'm calling on anybody who happens to be a leftist that listens to this broadcast, that hates me, that doesn't like what I say, At least we can agree to this. Leftists, I'm talking to you, center-left, non-globalist leftists out there. Can we agree to this? That whatever we do in whatever political methods, whatever policy-based methods that we promote, that we want the progress of America in every policy that we advocate. I mean, is that so hard for leftists that are out there that are listening? Is it that hard to say, look, I'm a liberal, I'm a leftist, but I love America, and I want to utilize the resources of America in this capacity so we can have a better America? I mean, can we all come together with that kind of idea? And can we all, both on the right and the left, and I'm talking about you center-left, I'm talking about you people that are anti-globalist, can we agree that if we love this country, whether we agree on the methods on how we progress this country, can we agree that we have to denounce in a unified fashion that we are not going to be a part of a globalist infrastructure, that we are not going to become the EU, we're not going to become the North American Union, we're not going to become the African Union. We're America. And there's a reason why our forefathers wrote the Constitution and accorded us the Second Amendment. We're the only armed, and I'm talking seriously armed, I'm not talking about these little small population-based countries that could still be wiped out by their fucking militaries. I'm talking about we are a mass-populated armed population. And the reason is because until they take those guns away from us, and believe me, they're trying every fucking day of their lives, they're trying every day we wake up to take our Second Amendment away by trying to scare us with false flags, with these ridiculous shootings, with isolated incidents, etc., etc. They're trying to take our guns away because it'll be that much easier for these leftists to micromanage and force their perspective on us, force their globalism on us. So by God, I just hope that there's leftists out there that understand what I'm talking about. You can be a leftist and love this country, you asshole. You can be a leftist and a Democrat and not want to be a globalist scumbag, somebody who sells out their own people, who lies to minorities and say, yeah, I'm for you, black guy, okay? Vote for me because I'm the Democrat, and look, we gave you like half a black president, you know, last presidency, so you owe us, okay? We're liberals. You owe us, black guy. So go out there and vote Democrat, and let me tell you, if you keep doing it, we'll give you a couple more bucks in your food stamps, okay? How you like that? How you like that, black guy, huh? Huh? You vote for us, we'll go ahead and give you a little housing voucher program so you can live in the projects. How you like that, huh? You love it, don't you, minorities? We're liberal. You see, we are the ones that tell you what to do, because you can't do for yourself. That's why we tell you who to vote for, minorities. Black guy, Mexican guy, Asian guy, gay guy. We tell you what to do. You see, because you can't do for yourself. That's why you should be voting for us so we can give you welfare. You should be voting for us so we can give you this. It's ridiculous, man. Wake up, folks. Wake up in this 2018 midterm election. If you're a goddamn Democrat, don't be fooled by this modern Democrat party. This is a globalist, anti-American party, and they're trying to do every manipulative agitation method to fucking take this country down. And if you can't see it, then you're part of it. If you can't see it, you're part of it, for fuck's sake. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. I had to say it, man. I'm just tired. I want civility back in America. I want us to be able to have conversations so that we can, left and right, take care of our communities, fix our communities, make sure our communities are safe, clean, etc. I mean, that's all we want. I want civility, man. Without civility, you have nothing but chaos, disorder, I mean, you want to take a look at uncivility, take a look at a lot of the countries that are right now under a situation of civil war, occupation, etc. Fucking American people, man. We better wake up while we still have the right to vote, you morons. Anyway, let me go ahead and go to the cryptocurrency component of the broadcast here. Let's talk a little cryptocurrency. Now, for you folks, saw this weekend, we saw a major, major rally. I think we saw the market capitalization for the cryptocurrency market to go as high as, what, 225? I think I saw it at 227 at one point, $227 billion. Well, the current market capitalization of the cryptocurrency markets right now, folks, is $216 billion market capitalization. So since the weekend rally, we're starting to, you know, come down a little bit from that high there. Come down. But you know what that means to me, folks, is that these Bitcoin ETFs and other financial instruments that are going to get institutional Wall Street investors closer and closer into investing into cryptocurrency, I think it's becoming that much more closer, in my opinion. I think it's becoming that much more closer. And right now, I want to be honest with you, you had some people probably holding some bags for a minute, and that's why you're seeing this quick sell-off. And lest we forget, the U.S. dollar has gone high. It's gone high. There's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, there's some destabilization in the international community right now. You notice that, folks. You know, you got a lot of things going on. You know, you got a lot of things going on in the world today. And right now, investors trust America. And like I said about the U.S. dollar, what is the U.S. dollar, okay? It's nothing more than a piece of paper. It's a fiat currency. It's our faith in it that gives it value. Now, what gives it value? Why do we have faith in it? Because the United States is might. The America's might gives value to the U.S. dollar. And right now, in such a destabilized and unstable world, investors are going with the safety net right now and putting their money in U.S. dollars, because no matter what happens, even if there is a world war, the United States will prevail, at least according to most investors, and that's why you're seeing what you're seeing in the U.S. dollar at this point. So, I mean, this is why you have value in this dollar. I mean, lest we forget, you have Nicolas Maduro trying to do the same damn thing, you know, creating a new cryptocurrency and trying to pass it off as a new fiat backed up by oil. And by the way, our fiat is backed up by oil. That's why they call it the petrodollar. That's another thing that gives our U.S. dollar value, is the fact that OPEC are the countries that produce oil. They have a understanding with the United States that they will exclusively trade oil in U.S. dollars. So with the U.S. might and the fact that OPEC countries trade oil exclusively in U.S. dollars, and our faith in the U.S. dollar is what gives it value. So, I mean, that's why, you know, everybody's all talking about, cryptocurrency, I don't get it, Ghost. It's a scam because I don't get it. It's like you're making money out of nowhere. I don't understand it. Hey, that's what money is, asshole. What the fuck do you think the U.S. dollar is? It's nothing. It's a piece of paper. It used to be worth something. I mean, if you take a look at the U.S. dollars that were printed before Nixon, Richard Nixon, you could look on those dollars, and it said on the bottom that this certificate can be traded for silver or gold, depending on which banknote, depending on which 20 or $50 bill you got, or $5 bill, whatever it was. It says that it could be traded for silver or gold in equal weight. I mean, you could literally just go to the bank and say, hey, look, I've got $50. I want gold. I mean, give me some gold. I mean, you could trade it for gold. It was backed up by something. Now, I don't want to get into a debate on whether or not the gold standard was the appropriate monetary policy, but the point is that anybody that tries to give the debate that
cryptocurrency is like a scam, you know, get it, you're just like printing stuff out of nowhere.
That's what money is. I mean, what do you think money is? What do you think gives that, you know, this fucking dollar that's in your pocket? What gives it value? Anyway, let's get to some cryptocurrency prices. Now, I know people are probably like, man, what happened this weekend? We saw a rally. Well, you got some sell-offs going on. But I think this might be one of the last sell-offs. There might be one more sell-off after this, just to offset anyone else that's holding bags that wants to get the fuck out of the goddamn market. But I personally believe this is one of the last ones of the year, one of the last major dips of the year, in my personal opinion. Okay, now, unless the SEC completely says screw any kind of ETF in coordination with Bitcoin, minus that, I think this is one of the last. I think we might see one more contraction, but I think this is going to be the last, one of the last ones. I hope I'm right, but we shall see. Remember, this market is an unregulated market, folks. So that means that the investors dictate what the hell's really going on here. Anyway, let's take a look at Bitcoin. Everything is pretty much down in the cryptocurrency market right now, with the exception of a few, which I'll cover here shortly. Let's go ahead and get to Bitcoin. Market capitalization for Bitcoin, folks, is $113 billion market capitalization. Now, why is Bitcoin down a little bit today? We're at about 6,500 right now in Bitcoin. Why is it down? Well, folks, believe it or not, I don't know if you've read this, but the Bitcoin core development team had to literally fix a problem that they found within their code, within their blockchain, that would have allowed a hacker to be able to not only hack the Bitcoin blockchain, but to be able to increase the amount or decrease the amount of coins that would be distributed. Now, I know many people probably haven't heard about this, but this is really big time here this past weekend. That's why I was surprised that we even had a goddamn rally up to this point, because that was all over the underground of the cryptocurrency news media. All right, and there's a lot of cryptocurrency news media, by the way. I really appreciate that, man. You got to go searching for it, unfortunately. But yeah, the Bitcoin network could have completely been compromised had it not been for this update that was brought on by the Bitcoin Core network team. And I'm sure that's spooking everybody out. Anybody who's a major investor, especially in Bitcoin, is probably thinking that they need to sell the fuck off at this point in time. So look that up for yourself. It just happened this weekend. If y'all want to go get the details on it. But Bitcoin literally was almost compromised, man. That's why we're seeing a little bit of decrease on it and on the rest of the market. Let's go ahead and take a look at Bitcoin. Once again, $113 billion market cap. Circulating supply is 17.2 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Bitcoin has gone down 1.63% decrease in a 24-hour period. Current price for Bitcoin, folks, is $6,500. $91.13 per Bitcoin. And that's why we saw a decrease, man. Look it up for all you folks that think I'm lying. Look it up for yourself. It was a major, major deal that it was kept under the radar. And I'm surprised that the mainstream media or the mainstream business media didn't say anything about it. Maybe that was on purpose. Who knows? Anyway, let's get to Ethereum. We've been seeing some Ethereum rising ever since we saw Ethereum go as low as, what, 170, 180? Once it hit those lows, we started seeing a bounce back real quick. Let's take a look at ETH. Ethereum, current market capitalization is $23 billion market cap. Excuse me, the circulating supply is 102 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Ethereum has gone down 6.07%. The current price for Ethereum is $228.79 per Ethereum. Let's go ahead and get to Bitcoin Cash. It also took it on the teeth, and I think a lot of this has to do with selling off and the Bitcoin situation that had on its network. I think everybody needs to look at that. Anyway, Bitcoin Cash, current market cap is $8 billion market capitalization. The circulating supply is 17.3 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Bitcoin Cash has gone down 5.30%. Current price for Bitcoin Cash is $462.62 per Bitcoin Cash. Let's get to Litecoin. Once again, continuing with the red streak. LTC market capitalization is $3.3 billion market cap. Circulating supply is 58 million in circulation in the past 24 hours. Litecoin has gone down 5.19%. Current price for Litecoin is $57.98 per Litecoin. Let's continue on to Monero, folks. Why do I cover Monero? Well, aside from it being a very good short and pattern swing trading play crypto, it's also now become the crypto of use in the deep web, or in the dark web, so to speak. So just the fact that it's being circulated in the underworld, excuse me, of the internet, this is what's going to give this value, and that's why I'm starting to change my mind a little bit about Monero. Let's go ahead and take a look at Monero. XMR is the symbol. Current market cap is $1.8 billion market capitalization. The circulating supply right now for Monero is 16.4 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Monero has gone down 5.91%. Current price for Monero is $115.08 per Monero. Now, once again, let's get to Dash, folks. Now, we saw a major sell-off on Dash because we saw it go up really quick over $200. And once again, there's a lot of reasons for that. And the reasons are is because, well, Dash has become widely accepted in South America. You know, and why is it, folks? Because most South American countries right now are having a very, let's just say, a peculiar situation as it relates to their economic problems. You know, their fiats aren't worth a crap. I mean, I can tell you about Venezuela. There's a situation in Nicaragua. I believe there's a whole bunch of things happening all over the damn place out there in South America. So with that being said, South America has become one of the havens of acceptance as it pertains to Dash, D-A-S-H. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. And once again, you know, if you want, I don't know if they're still available, by the way, the mining contracts for Dash. I'm not too sure if they're still available. But if you want to get yourself one, take a look at genesis-mining.com. Genesis-mining.com. And, you know, take a look at the Dash contracts. I'm not too sure if they're still available. Monero doesn't look too bad at this point. I'm not too sure about Bitcoin. But Zcash, I'm definitely a buyer on. So if they have any of those available, take a look at them. You know, they could be a potential possibility for your portfolio, so to speak. So with that being said, let's go ahead and take a look at Dash. Oh, yeah, and by the way, if you're going to get yourself a contract from Genesis-Mining.com, you got to use the discount code, baby. And of course, the the discount code is WEA296 for Genesis Mining. All right, WEA296. All right. Now that we got that all out of the way, let's get to Dash here. Dash, D-A-S-H. Current market cap is $1.6 billion market cap. The circulating supply, baby, is 8.3 million. So I like that circulating supply. It's another reason that makes that Dash contract attractive, in my opinion. It has gone down with the rest of the market, unfortunately. Dash is down 3.94% decrease in a 24-hour period. Current price for Dash is $196.04 per Dash. Let's get to Zcash, folks. All right, let's go ahead and get to Zcash. Oh, no, excuse me. Ethereum Classic. Let's go to Ethereum Classic first. And by the way, whoever sent the Ethereum Classic and the cryptocurrency wishing well at ghost.report, cheers to you and make all your dreams come true. Anyway, let's get to Ethereum Classic. ETC is the symbol. Market cap is $1.1 billion market capitalization. The circulating supply for Ethereum Classic is 104 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, Ethereum Classic has gone down 4.39%. Current price for Ethereum Classic is $11.05 per Ethereum Classic. All right, my apologies on that. I'm trying to do 100 things at once. My apologies. Let's continue on. Zcash now. Now, Zcash is one of the few that are in the green right now, believe it or not. And the reason that we're hearing or we're seeing, believe it or not, this Zcash going into the green is because the man Vitalik, the Pozhole, the guy who created Ethereum, recently stated that Ethereum could use the blockchain technology of Zcash to facilitate certain types of blockchain transactions. And just because he said that, that's why we're seeing Zcash on the plus side right now. Let's go ahead and take a look at it, all right? Zcash, ZEC, current market cap is $667 million market capitalization. The circulating supply, and I love Zcash because of the low circulating supply. And remember, Zcash has the privacy component that is what makes Monero such a big deal. So you've got that with Zcash, but the circulating supply of Zcash is what makes it very attractive. 4.8 million in circulation. That's it. Not even 5 million in circulation yet. In the past 24 hours, Zcash has gone up. It has gone up 5.15%. Current price for Zcash, $137.14 per Zcash. And once again, I like Zcash. I own it. I mine it. I do a bunch of stuff with it. So it's a winner as far as I'm concerned. That's why I keep covering any cryptos that I cover outside. If I say a preamble of a short term, for instance, for those folks that remembered last week, I covered Ripple. But prior to me covering Ripple, I said this is a very short term play. Unless you hear me saying something like that, every crypto I cover is a long term play. Okay, once again, Zcash, $137.14. Let's take a look at 0x. 0x has been creeping on a come up as of late. And for all those folks that don't know, 0x was acquired in a transaction because 0x, the blockchain technology, it's used on a exchange called Paradax. And Paradax was acquired by Coinbase. And now Coinbase, from what I understand, now, if I'm not mistaken, allows 0x trading, ZRX. So very interesting things going on with ZRX. Take a look at it. Like I said, it could take the very trajectory of EOS, if you want my opinion. But EOS now is starting to flake out. I've always said that EOS's blockchain was a little flaky. And now that, you know, all you have to do is just Google search EOS and see all the hacks and people getting ripped off and all that shit. So, but I'm talking about price trajectory here as it relates to the comparison of ZRX and EOS. Because I remember very vividly EOS being a mere 30-40 cent cryptocurrency. And the highest it went as it gradually went upward, EOS went as high as like what, $18? And EOS has a lot more circulation. So that's why I like to put those two together as it pertains to a potential price trajectory. Let's go ahead and take a look at 0x. Market cap for 0x, ZRX is the symbol, $352 million market cap. The circulating supply for 0x is 539 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, 0x has gone up 1.60%. Current price for 0x, 65 cents. Now, once again, keep your eye out on that one, man. I'm just telling you, you could see that go up to a few bucks very fast. Just saying. Let's take a look at QTUM. We saw some major gains in the weekend's bump up. But, of course, like with everything else, everything's contracting at this point in time, and QTUM is no different. So let's go ahead and get to Quantum QTUM. Once again, these are major low prices to be able to start accumulating Quantum for not just the with the anticipated value, but you also want to have as much of it as possible so that you can have the proof of stake that is a means of obtaining more and more cryptocurrency by just merely holding this cryptocurrency in your cryptocurrency wallet. And many of us in the inner circle and the True Capitalist Radio chat room are literally getting paid doing this. I mean, we're just holding the damn quantum and getting paid. It's the equivalent, and I don't mean to use this as like a loose interpretation of what a proof of stake is, but it's much like, although it's not the exact same thing, let me get that preamble, as a dividend from a stock. But a stock means that you own a piece of a company. QTUM is a cryptocurrency and its own token, by the way. It has its own technology, its own blockchain, much like Ethereum. And you can just get proof of stake. And not to mention all the QRC20 tokens that are being burnt. You have to go to those websites and figure out if they're going to be distributing them. And you can get them airdropped right into your goddamn wallet. Quantum wallet, man. And not to mention, I think this is the future, etc. So let's get to Quantum, QTUM. Market capitalization is $337 million market cap. The circulating supply, 88 million in circulation. In the past 24 hours, folks, it has gone down 7.90%. The current price for Quantum is $3.80. But I don't think that's going to be that low for too much longer. Just wait till the X86 virtual machine comes out. And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, folks, let me go to one more cryptocurrency here, folks, and let's just go ahead and cover, since I'm looking at the time here, 42 coins. Now, what have I always told you about 42 coin? 42 coin is obviously a long-term investment. It is a what? Hedge against contractions. And that's exactly what we're seeing reflected right here in 42 coin, all right? Let's take a look at it. 42 coin right now, market capitalization, $1.1 million market cap. Circulating supply, 42 coins. That's it, folks. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to come up out the pocket for one whole coin. You can buy parts of a coin. But there is no more circulated outside of the 42 coin circulated. Now, in a contracting market, 42 coin is up. 4.43% increase. The current price for 42 coin, folks, $27,157.87 per 42 coin. I'm telling you, you guys that are making some kind of liquidity on short-term or pattern trading plays in cryptocurrency, you should definitely entertain 42 coin as a long-term investment, man. 42 coin is not going anywhere, first and foremost, because it was never an ICO, first of all. So if there is any kind of regulatory cryptocurrency situation in America, you will always be able to trade and sell your crypto 42 coins because it wasn't sold. It wasn't pre-sold an ICO. It was actually given away, believe it or not, to those who mined it. So like I said, there was no pre-sale, which gives this the opportunity to be a cryptocurrency that'll, if there is any regulation in crypto, legally traded in the United States. And aside from that, folks, you can't beat the circulating supply, etc. So anyway, I'm a 42 coin investor. I've got about, I'm not going to tell you how many I got now, but I've got enough, let's put it that way. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to Bloomberg. What am I talking about? The stock markets. Stock markets. I'm sorry, I use Fox News, Bloomberg, Market Watch, you name them. I got them all up on my screen, so that's the first thing that comes to my mind here. I think of business media. I mean, literally, my nose is always in business media. That's how come I can make these prognostications from time to time. Let's go ahead and get to the stock market, my opinion. My apologies. Jesus Christ. Anyway, Dow Jones Industrial, all right, we see it down today. And the reason that stocks are down is because we're having the China trade war situation flare up even more serious. Let's put it that way. And the politics of today, you know, the Brett Kavanaugh situation, it's making Wall Street a little uneasy considering we're not far off from the election. So this is why we're seeing a contraction, unless we forget, folks, this past Friday on the Dow, we had all-time highs. all-time highs in the Dow Jones Industrial. And I just would like to say once again, didn't I tell you all back in 2017 that I was completely bullish on the stock market in 2018? Didn't I say that? The prognosticator strikes again. Anyway, Dow Jones Industrial, it is down today 181.45 points, a percentage decrease of 0.68%, closing out the Dow at 26,562.05 points for the Dow Jones Industrial. Let's get to the S&P. It's also down, folks, 10.30 points, a percentage decrease of 0.35%, closing out the S&P at 2,919.37 points for the S&P 500. Now, we saw the NASDAQ go up. Now, why did we see the NASDAQ go up? Well, folks, it seems as if Sirius Radio is going to acquire Pandora Radio, believe it or not. I mean, it's going to make it one of the biggest non-terrestrial radio providers, if not the biggest, I should say, in the world. I believe it's somewhere in the range of $4 billion. I think it's $3.9 billion acquisition. So this is what kind of made a little bit of positivity in the NASDAQ on today's session. NASDAQ, it is up 6.30 points, a percentage increase of 0.08%, closing out the NASDAQ at 7,993.25 points for the NASDAQ composite. Good God. Let me continue, folks. Let's go into commodities. Now, remember last week I was talking to you guys about watch your gas prices, that these oil prices seem to be getting very, very aggressive on the plus side. Well, folks, it looks like the Middle East is flaring up, to say the least, all right? And because of that, investors are starting to realize that there is money in energy, baby. Money in energy. Let's take a look at energy right now, okay? WTI sweet crude, which is the oil consumed by America, it is up today a mere 3 cents, but don't let that fool you. It's been up all weekend ever since the hit that happened in Iran, which we'll talk about later on in the broadcast. But a percentage increase of 0.04% increase for WTI sweet crude. Current price for WTI, folks, $72.11 per barrel of WTI sweet crude. We're seeing that goddamn oil creep on a come up. That's why I keep telling you guys, watch your goddamn gas prices. Let's go ahead and get to Brent crude, shall we? Now, Brent crude is even higher. Let's take a look at that Brent crude price, all right? First off, it's up 10 cents, a percentage increase of 0.12%. The current price for Brent crude, $81.30 per barrel of Brent crude oil. Let's take a look at gasoline. It is up 0.11%. Natural gas is up 0.49%. And what did I tell you about heating oil? It's already starting to go up. Take a look at that chart. And always remember, this is a play that you can do every goddamn year for free liquidity. All right, we're already starting to see some Arctic blast come down from Canada. It's going to blanket the United States here in, I guess, a week or 2 weeks, whenever the hell it's going to do it. And what's going to happen? There's going to be a demand for heating oil. I play this all the time. Now, what you need to do as an investor to take advantage of this is look for an ETF that coincides or corresponds with the increase in price of heating oil. Every year you can do this. I'm not kidding. I mean, every year it's the same shit, different plate when it comes to heating oil. I'm just saying. Anyway, let's get to the metals, shall we? The metals! Let's get to the goddamn metals! We've got gold. It's down a buck today, a percentage decrease of 0.08%. Current price for gold is $1,203.40. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot to say heating oil is up 0.10%. Sorry about that. Silver, it is down today 5 cents, a percentage decrease of 0.36%, closing out silver at $14.29 per troy ounce of silver. We've got copper, it is down 0.32%, and for some reason, platinum is up 0.09%. Let's go ahead and get to the agriculture grains. We've got corn. It's down 0.42%. Wheat is down 0.57%. And good God, look at oats. Oats is up 2.47% on the day. There must have been some readout on the crop report on that one. We got soybean. It is down 0.45%. We got soybean oil down 0.28%. Canola is down 0.06%. Let's get to the soft, shall we? Cocoa! Man, folks, this isn't looking good. I don't know if this is because of the Ebola or what's going on, but cocoa keeps going up and up and up. And if you don't know, cocoa is the base for chocolate, and the majority of cocoa is, it's produced in Africa. Anyway, cocoa is up 3.14% increase on the day. Good God! Anyway, let's get to coffee. It is down 1.40%. Sugar is down 3.85%. Good God. Orange juice is down 0.54%. Cotton is down 0.70%. Lumber is down 0.21%. Rubber is down 1.12%. And ethanol, for some reason, is up 0.32%. Let's go ahead and get to livestock. And look, I hope these cattle prices keep going lower. You understand that? I want cheap beef. I want cheap beef. I'm talking like, you know, freaking 3-inch thick, 4-inch thick fucking porterhouse steaks, man. You know what I mean? The New York strips, ribeye, tenderloin, beef tenderloin, for Christ's sake, man. And just in time for the holidays, you know? Anyway, as a matter of fact, I don't like eating turkey during Thanksgiving. You know, I like to be different, so sometimes, what did I have last year? I think last year I had like one of those big-ass rib roasts, you know, one of the ones that they usually sell during the holidays. It costs about $120, one of those. It was excellent. That's all I'm saying. But let's keep the live cattle coming down in price, huh? Anyway, live cattle is down 1.22% decrease. Cattle feeder, it is also down 1.19%. And by God, finally, we're starting to see some come down on lean hogs. Lean hog is down 0.74%, folks. And that, my friends, is the markets for your ass, all right? You're goddamn right. And let me go ahead and take a sip of some high-quality H2O here, because I'm going to be honest with you, I did drink this weekend, which I'm going to be honest, you all heard me on Friday at the beginning talking about the acid reflux situation. Well, you know, I was getting myself better, you know, taking the honey, you know, taking a lot more fruits and vegetables, which was helping, and I felt great. I was like, oh man, it's gone. It's gone. It's great. Yeah. So I decided to drink on fucking Saturday and Sunday, and it's back. And so we got to go back to the drawing board on that one. So here I am sipping on some high quality H2O when I wish it was beer. Anyway, cheers to everybody out there on this Monday. Cheers, baby. Nice high-quality H2O, man. Nice high-quality H2O. Anyway, folks, we are now in the second hour of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And, of course, I am your host, the man they call Ghost. And once again, folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with me. Before we get started on anything else, I'd like to ask everybody to please spread this show link around like wildfire. And let everybody you know across the internets and throughout the world, let them all know that True Capitalist Radio is in effect and in the house. And once again, we are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas, U.S. time, right here on the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And I keep saying it and saying it and saying it. I love being independent now. Add this to your bookmarks, add this to your favorites, the following. ghost.report. All right, that's all you got to type in your browser. That's it. Ghost.report, the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And once again, I want to say anybody who wants to follow me on my only social media representation on the internet today, and that's on Gab, folks. All right, if you don't have a free Gab account, well, then get yourself one. And once you do, you can follow me on there under the name Politics Ghost. All one word, no underscores. Politics Ghost is the name to follow on Gab. And by the way, if you want to be a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room, what's going on in the chat room? If you want to be in here chilling with us, all you got to do is go right now to my Gab account, Politics Ghost, all one word, no underscores, and click the subscribe button for premium content, all right? You see that little button that says subscribe for premium content? Click that. Once you do, private message me on Gab, all right? Private message me on Gab and let me know your Discord chat name, because that's where the True Capitalist Radio chat room resides. Let me know your Discord chat name and I'll give you a private invitation to the True Capitalist Radio Discord chat room. It's that damn easy. And by the way, let me go ahead and send some shout-outs to everybody who's in here in the True Capitalist Radio chat room right now. What's going on to Aesthetic? What's going on to Billy Kosick, man? What's going on to Boat? How you doing, man? Bro Dog in the house. Death the Bureaucrats. Distillin', what's up, man? Han Zuberlander. Hawk Late. We got Herb Capitalist, Holden Capitalist, Insane Energy, Man Bear Pig, Metaform, Tesla Cyberheart, Curly McWhirly, and the God of Rage in the house. What's going on to Hoodie? What's going on to everybody else who is listening to the broadcast? Thank you for listening. And once again, if you want to be a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room, come on down, baby. Come on down. And by the way, for you folks that are looking for some merch out here, I've got merch. True Capitalist Radio merch, Ghost.report merch. All you've got to do is add this to your bookmarks and your favorites, all right? Type this in your browser right now, ghost.market. I mean, come on, it's that simple. Ghost.market. Go take a look at that damn website. Go take a look at it. Get yourself some threads and be a little edgy, huh? How about being a little edgy out there? Where the hell you're flossing your threads at, man? Anyway, now that we got that all out of the way, let's go ahead and get right into the nitty-gritty, because we got a lot of things to talk about as it pertains to the straight political dope here on the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. Let's talk about the president right off the bat, the modern-day George Washington, the man of the people himself, Donald Trump. He visited the UN today. This was the first day of, I guess, a week of UN festivities. Anyway, there's every head of state is going to be out in New York. They're going to be attending the UN General Assembly. I believe Trump, our president, speaks tomorrow, Tuesday. But he decided to go make a brief appearance at the United Nations to discuss the opioid epidemic. And as we know, folks, this epidemic is bigger than I even imagined. I mean, you know, people are losing their lives at a higher rate than natural causes as it pertains to the opioid overdosing. It's just unbelievable. Fentanyl. You know that fentanyl is used for anesthesia, right? I mean, I can't believe people are hooked on this crap. But the president made a brief little showing today to discuss this with the other heads of state at the United Nations. And the president actually urged his counterparts for global action as it pertains to the opioid epidemic, which is very interesting. But before he actually went into the United Nations to discuss the opioid epidemic, he made a statement on the Brett Kavanaugh situation. Now, oh, God, I don't even like talking about the Brett Kavanaugh situation anymore, because this is setting a dangerous precedent. I mean, who the hell's going to want to run for anything anymore if they're under this kind of scrutiny where some scorned broad or some politically motivated slutbag that happened to have gone to the same school with you can make some ridiculous accusations right as you're trying to be confirmed into whatever bureaucratic position that you're trying to apply for? I mean, this is dangerous. This is going to prohibit good people from serving in our government because of these sick, demented games that these damn Democrats are playing. And what games are the Democrats playing? They're politicizing rape. That's all this is. Politicizing rape, abuse, domestic violence. They're politicizing it all, folks. Politicizing it all. And you know something? Once again, everyone's talking about Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, he's bad. I mean, you even have these stupid, dumb women celebrities put out a video here recently trying to, I don't know, unite women against Kavanaugh or some shit. But folks, what about Keith Ellison? You know, the deputy chairman of the Democratic Party? I recently, folks, and let me go ahead and regab that since I'm already here. Let me go ahead and regab this. All right, just reposted it. The deputy chairman, Keith Ellison, he's been accused of physical abuse this summer. Now, I've linked a Facebook post that gives a personal account. All right, so we got a witness to this abuse, a personal account of this abuse by the girlfriend's son of Keith Ellison. And take a look on my gab if you want to read it. And it goes into extensive detail that Keith Ellison, the deputy chair of the Democratic Party, abused this young man's mother. And yet, where's the Democratic outcry for their own deputy chairman? Where's the call for FBI investigations on this guy? On top of not only her word, which is Keith Ellison's girlfriend and the son, Keith Ellison's girlfriend actually went to the hospital. There's medical documentation in which she was so abused she had to go seek medical attention. So where are the calls for this man to step down? Where are the FBI investigations? Where is the Democratic outcry for Keith Ellison? I mean, doesn't everybody understand that what this outcry for Brett Kavanaugh is pure politics? And if there was any level of genuineness, as it pertains to this whole situation, they would be calling for Keith Ellison to step down. They'd be calling for an FBI investigation into their own Democratic Party deputy chairman. But they're not. They're not. As a matter of fact, since we're going back into high school, I reported this last Friday, Mr. Mulatto Spartacus himself, Cory Booker, wrote about how he groped a woman and kind of was sexually aggressive towards a woman when he was 15 years old during New Year's Eve of 1984. He wrote about it in his own book. I mean, why aren't we calling for Cory Booker to step down? Mr. Spartacus, Mr. I'm going to go ahead and be an overdramatic drama queen because I really take it up my mulatto pooper. Huh? Huh? Hypocrisy! Hypocrisy, man! Hypocrisy! And this is what gets me so upset about this Brett Kavanaugh scandal. Because one woman, and have you seen this woman, this blasé Ford broad? What an ugly leather bag. I mean, her freaking eyes are like too close to themselves. Like, there's no, like, bridge of the nose. I mean, are you kidding me? Is this woman really making a legitimate case for sexual abuse? Or is she imagining that she wished it happened or some shit? Are you kidding? What a disgusting piece of trash this woman. Have you seen the non-glasses version of her? For Christ's sake. Oh, my God. And by the way, I mean, this happened when they were teenagers, for Christ's sake, man. I mean, don't you understand that even if you commit crimes as a teenager and are convicted, and you even serve like juvie hall, that once you turn 18, that your criminal record as a juvenile is typically sealed and it doesn't count against you because you're a juvenile. You're not in control of yourself. You are in control of your parents. Your parents are responsible for you. You are not responsible for yourself. Hence, once you become an adult, they seal your goddamn juvenile records because it shouldn't be held against you. You're a dumb, stupid fucking kid. But no, we want to make a judgment call as it relates to a Supreme Court justice's nomination based upon an accusation that was supposedly happened in high school, that this woman has a very weird recollection on how it happened. Now that she's made this accusation, I think it's really disgusting that the fucking Republicans are even pandering to this stupid slut. There are so many goddamn connections to the Clinton campaign and she being a leftist, and then the new accusers. Same shit. All connected to leftists, all connected to Hillary Clinton, and I've had enough of this, all right? I've had enough. I mean, this is setting a dangerous precedent here. I mean, look at Brett Kavanaugh, the pedigree of this man. This man is a Yale University top of his class. All right? I mean, everything that he has done, he's done in impeccable academic form. Everyone who he's ever worked with has nothing but good things to say about this guy. I mean, he's got like 65 women coming out in written and in spoken words saying, look, the Brett Kavanaugh I know is respectable. I mean, this man's a gentleman. I mean, you couldn't get any more of a spotless record and more of a conservative man than Brett Kavanaugh here. But because some leftist, some pro-Hillary bimbo happened to have crossed paths with him in school, in college, this gives enough probable cause for some woman just to make some outlandish accusation that, oh, he forced me down and forced himself on me. Oh, my God, he exposed himself to me. Exposed himself. Oh, God. I mean, why didn't you say something? You know, why didn't you say something? And look, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the reason I brought this up is because the president made a statement prior to him going into the United Nations to discuss the opioid epidemic. He made a brief statement and said, and this is on the Brett Kavanaugh scandal, that he is totally down with Brett Kavanaugh, and that what is happening to Brett Kavanaugh is totally political. Totally political. You're damn right, POTUS. You're damn right. And I'm glad that the president has come out and said, look, enough of this pussyfooting around that the Republicans are doing because they're so scared shitless about a midterm election. I mean, give me a break. All right? This whole goddamn thing with Brett Kavanaugh is purely political. It is politicized rape. It is politicized domestic violence. It is politicized woman abuse. And any woman falling for it is a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. Any woman falling for this crap is completely out of their goddamn gourd. But then again, I mean, it doesn't take much to persuade women that, yeah, woman power, womanhood, yeah! Stupid broad. Get back in the fucking kitchen where you belong, for Christ's sake. But anyway, I'm glad the president came out on the side of Brett Kavanaugh and said, look, I'm down with Brett Kavanaugh. All these goddamn accusations and the way they were brought up at the very last minute before the confirmation vote is purely political. And that's the president. I know that the Republican Party is probably like, no, don't say that, Mr. President. Don't. Oh, there's a midterm election here. Shut up! I mean, if this is the way the Democrats want to play, man, you've got to make them look like the dumbasses they are. They are politicizing rape. They are politicizing abuse. They're doing more of a detriment to women than some abusive man that's in a shit-stained wife beater could do. Because of these cries of wolf, because that's all this is. It's politicized bullshit. It is meant to smear a person's reputation. I mean, if this is the way it's going to be, well, then what does our future look like? Because I can tell you right now, I mean, Brett Kavanaugh grew up during a time that wasn't as sexually explicit as it is now, you know, isn't as sexually free as it is now, or at least supposedly sexually free. I mean, go to a goddamn gay parade, you got oral copulation between two men across the street from two children that are holding up "We are LGBT" signs. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, there's... I mean, who's going to have this kind of impeccable record as Brett Kavanaugh in modern-day America? I'm seriously. I'm sure they're very far and few between. But you see, because we're so politically polarized out here, that somehow they found some broads that crossed paths with Brett Kavanaugh and are able to make these types of outlandish claims. I mean, get that woman under oath. Get that woman under oath. But you see, her lawyer doesn't want that. I mean, we should not be pussyfooting around with this. And you know what? They're doing more damage to women than rapists do across the world. I'm not even joking, because people that are raped, they're not going to be listened to because of this. People that are abused, women that are abused, are not going to be listened to. They're going to be like, here's one of these women again. Well, what is her problem? Was she scorned? Is it a political thing? And I think it's a shame that women are championing this shit. I can't believe that you've got women that are like, yeah, woman power. How dare you? This happened. So what if it happened 36 years ago? You have to believe the woman.
It doesn't matter. You have to believe the woman. We have to believe all women that say that they were sexually abused. It doesn't matter.
I mean, what they're trying to have you convinced of is that you should be already convinced that if an accusation is said by a woman, that it is 100% truthful, and that the alleged party that they are alleging these things against is automatically guilty. Completely bypassing due process of law, innocence until proven guilty. And look, this just proves that the underlying root of why this is happening is the Democrats trying to ruin our institutions of government. I mean, they're ruining it. They're ruining the institutions of government. I mean, take a look at Cory Booker when he tried to disclose unconfidential information against the Senate rules. Take a look at what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to undermine government. How could anybody still vote for these people? How can these people still be in Congress? I have no fucking idea. But this is how dumb our fucking electorate is. And that's why, if you want my opinion, folks, I don't think everybody should have the right to vote. I'm sorry. I'm a capitalist, all right? And I think that those that are capitalists, those that work for a living, those that pay taxes, those should be the only ones exclusive enough to vote. Because it makes no sense that we allow people that are collecting government entitlements to vote. How is that even fair? How and why is this even possible? And this is what we need to start advocating as capitalists, because only the productive should be the ones in charge of who's going to lead and what's going to happen. I mean, why does the unproductive have the same equivalent of a say-so than those that are productive? I mean, where's the morality in that? I don't even understand. How in the hell can the unproductive have any kind of a moral soapbox by mooching and basically draining and leeching off of the productive? I've never understood this. What kind of morality is this? And that's why I'm saying, if the unproductive want to remain unproductive, well, then they shouldn't have the right to vote. Because they don't have any skin in the game. They're not working. They're not contributing to the government. They're not contributing to any of this shit. And that's, I'm going to say that until I die. I don't really care, man. I care about people that contribute to this society. And as a capitalist, the people that work, the people that own businesses, they're the ones that make all the contribution to society. And anybody who doesn't think so, well, ask yourself, if people stopped working and if people stopped owning businesses, how the hell would the government continue to sustain itself? How would the government continue to sustain itself, fund itself, without taxpayers? It can't. I know all you morons out there that are socialists and communists, you think that somehow money is going to magically go away. You don't understand. It's all about money. Even communists and socialists know it's about money. They just want to steal it as opposed to earning it. They want to utilize the state to steal it. I mean, that's what Vladimir Putin did. Vladimir Putin was nothing more than a lifelong bureaucrat. And lo and behold, he became president and stole the wealth from the so-called Russian oligarchs And now all that wealth is sitting in some bank account in Russia, and probably a whole bunch of bank accounts. I mean, did you know that Vladimir Putin is worth $140 billion? He stole it! He fucking stole it like a communist! It's all about money, you stupid, dumb communists and socialists! I mean, do you understand that communism is an economic theory? Do you understand that? It's an economic theory. It's pure economics. There's no morality in there. I mean, the modus operandi for communism is for the control, the state control of means of production. It's all economics. I mean, same thing with socialism, you dumbasses. In socialism, the government chooses who's going to be the big corporations, who's going to be the capitalist winners. Do you understand? The government chooses who's the winners in capitalism and socialism. That's why they tried to correlate this one stupid saying with socialists and capitalists being, what do they call it? It slipped my mind. They call it, regardless of what they call it, I forgot. I just completely went dead at that point. A crony capitalism is what they call it. Crony cap. Thank you very much. Crony capitalism. But there is no such thing as crony capitalism. Crony capitalism is meant by socialists to make capitalists look bad. But crony capitalism, quote unquote, is nothing more than socialism. Because it's the government under socialism that picks and chooses who's going to own the means of production and what they're going to produce. It's all about money, man. I don't give a shit what you dumb political romanticists think that communism and socialism is. It's economics, pure and simple. Economics is the social organization of utilizing the human resources to progress a country's influence, whether it be in technology, medicine, science, military, etc. It's economics, you morons. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that soliloquy, but once again, I just, I'm really sick of the Brett Kavanaugh situation, and I can't believe that this precedent is being set, because how are we going to get good people to serve in government anymore if they're going to be under this kind of scrutiny? And when I mean this kind of scrutiny, I'm talking about somebody who has a grudge, or is politically motivated, or whatever, to just start salaciously throwing out random goddamn alleged crimes that you supposedly committed. Now we can't do this, man. And that's why at this point I'm done with talking about the Brett Kavanaugh situation. And by the way, if Blase Ford happened to have been raped or whatever the hell she was in high school, well, she should just cough it up to a mulligan, because first of all, why was she there? Why was she there as a teenager? Why was she drinking? Etc. Okay? And if you're not going to... I mean, look, I'll even give you a little bit, okay? Okay, I'll even give you a little bit of time, Blase Ford. Let's say you didn't want to do it right then because you were embarrassed. How about 5 years? How about 10 years later, you stupid, dumb, fucking lunatic? Because it didn't happen, in my opinion. It did not happen. And that's why you've got your lawyer trying to dictate the terms for which you're going to testify and tell your supposed fake story. Give me a goddamn break. Once again, the president calling the Brett Kavanaugh scandal a complete and total political fucking hit job. And I'm glad that the president is standing by Kavanaugh in this situation, because give me a break. But anyway, let's continue to talk about the president here. Did you all hear that Rod Rosenstein, I think we talked about this on Friday, it came out in a New York Times story that Rod Rosenstein had a conversation with FBI agents and members of the DOJ about potentially wearing a wire to record Donald Trump and utilizing the 25th Amendment to remove him from power. And he was allegedly, according to the same conversation, talking about recruiting members of his cabinet to fulfill this from happening. And of course, Rod Rosenstein, he doesn't deny that he said it. I mean, in his first statement, he said that he unequivocally believes that the president does not fall under the 25th Amendment or some legalese bullshit that Rod Rosenstein likes to use on a consistent basis. But if you take a look at both responses, he doesn't categorically deny what the hell was said, because he probably did say it. Now, as I stated on Friday, that the president shouldn't go right away to remove Rod Rosenstein, because I believe that's exactly what they wanted. I personally believe that Andrew McCabe, the fired deputy director of the FBI, he was the one that made this memo, because that's the only reason we know that Rosenstein even said it. The only reason we know that Rosenstein said this about removing the president, utilizing the 25th Amendment, recruiting cabinet members, is because a memo by allegedly Andrew McCabe had this written down right after the conversation had happened. And now Rod Rosenstein finds himself in a very precarious situation, because apparently he talked to the president, and he's going to meet with the president this Thursday. Now, there's a lot of speculation on what the hell Rod Rosenstein's going to do. In the morning, they were talking about Rod Rosenstein resigning from the DOJ as being the deputy attorney general. But those calls, or that alleged report of him stepping down, obviously was not the case, because he is still going to meet with the president this Thursday on whether or not he still has a job or not. Now, folks, I'm going to be completely honest, okay? Doesn't this pretty much validate that this whole goddamn Robert Mueller investigation is nothing more than a political weaponized tool in an attempt to take down a law-abiding president of the United States? Because this Russia-Trump special counsel by Robert Mueller hasn't found anything within 2 years and over $25 million wasted in an investigation. They have not found any connections between Russia and Trump whatsoever. And to be honest with you folks, it was Rod Rosenstein that appointed Robert Mueller and his special counsel. And if Rod Rosenstein really did say these things in a meeting, which apparently it's been memoed, Andrew McCabe, and according to reports, the memo in question is being held by the special counsel itself, Robert Mueller's special counsel. I mean, doesn't that pretty much just validate the fact that Robert Mueller's special counsel is a political weapon? And it must come to an end at this point in time. I mean, how long are we going to continue going with this charade? How long are we going to continue on with this obvious political hit job that is the damn Robert Mueller special counsel? I don't understand. Well, I mean, how long is it going to take? Rod Rosenstein is the man that appointed Robert Mueller. And now that Rod Rosenstein has come out and allegedly said that he wanted to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president, wear a wire to get the president in a compromising situation, and recruit members of the cabinet to remove him. If he said that, and it's on a memo, and it's documented, then why is the Robert Mueller special counsel continuing to go on, when it was Rod Rosenstein that appointed the Robert Mueller special counsel? I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And you know, this weekend, you had calls by Chuck Schumer and Senator Leahy out there in Vermont demanding that the president better not fire Rod Rosenstein after this, or it'll be obstruction of the Robert Mueller special counsel. I mean, give me a break. I mean, how can these people continue to sell this Robert Mueller special counsel when you have reports that the deputy attorney general wanted to remove the president? I mean, come on, man. Anyway, I don't know what the hell's going to happen in this meeting between Rod Rosenstein and the president this week, but that's going to be a very interesting Thursday. There's a lot of news this Thursday. What do we have? We've got the Rod Rosenstein Donald Trump meeting. We've got the supposed testimony of Blase Ford. We got a lot of things to look forward to on Thursday. But I'm telling you, this is probably the beginning of the end. And what do I mean by the end? I'm talking about the end of the corruption of the DOJ and the FBI. It's about time people start opening up their eyes and realizing that elements of the judicial branch was compromised by the Democratic Party in an attempt to remove a duly elected president. And it's all starting to come out day by day. You can't deny it at this point. There's too much evidence at this point. It doesn't matter if you're anti-Trump. What happened here was against our foundation of institutional government. And it's got to stop. We've got to demand justice. I've been trying on this broadcast for the past year and a half to demand justice. We, as the American people, we have to demand justice from these people who corrupted the DOJ and the FBI. We've got to demand that James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Bill Orr, and his wife, they all go to jail. We've got to. I mean, I hate to say this again and again and again and again, but are these people too big to jail? Are these people too big to jail? I know I keep saying that, but folks, I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it? It seems like these fucking people are too big to jail. And that's why we have to start demanding it, damn it. You, me, the American people, we've got to start doing it. But if we remain silent, what does the old saying go, folks? Silence is consent. Silence is consent. So anyway, we shall see what happens with the president and Rod Rosenstein this Thursday. But if this guy isn't gone by Thursday and fucking slapped in handcuffs, or as far as I'm concerned, then I'm not going to be happy, all right? All these people need to go to jail. I mean, these people are not too big to jail. We've got to start demanding justice, man! Damn it! All right, let me move on, all right? I'm going to get too upset. I mean, you all know my position. At this point, now that Rod Rosenstein has been outed as somebody who is anti-Trump, how can the legitimacy of the Robert Mueller special counsel continue? How? How can it continue? It must be stopped at this point in time, for Christ's sake. Oh, Jesus Christ. Let me move on to another subject matter, right? Now, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's get into a little bit of a happy mood. Let's switch into our happy dance right now, all right? Now, did you all hear that the president announced that immigrants, illegal immigrants that came to our country who used food stamps and housing vouchers and welfare, will be denied green cards no matter what? Yes! Yes! That's my president, man! That's right. I told you guys this. Y'all can go back in the archives. I told you that this was going to happen one day. The president announced that illegal immigrants who used food stamps and housing voucher programs and other welfare will be denied a green card, folks. And, of course, you've got the Democrats crying foul out here saying, oh, my God, how could you deny green cards to poor illegal immigrants? They were poor. They're poor. You dumb Democrats, they're illegal. They're illegal immigrants. They shouldn't even be in this fucking country, you stupid nimrods. And yet, not only are they here illegally, but they're getting entitlements, folks. And I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, they are. Well, I tell you what, you better hope that you enjoyed those entitlements there, you damn illegal immigrants. Because no matter what, you ain't never going to get a green card there, baby. You ain't never going to get a green card if you collected any kind of government entitlements from America. And thank God for that. Thank God. I'd like to see the Democrats make an argument on why we need to give entitlements to illegal immigrants who are in this country illegally. I'd like to have that debate. I'd like to hear some Democrats make a case, huh? While we've got people starving in America, while we got Americans suffering in a variety of different capacities, I'd like to hear the Democrats justify why we should continue to give entitlements to illegal immigrants. Oh, man, doesn't that make you feel good? It makes me feel good, you know? It makes me feel good that these illegal immigrants who have been collecting free government food stamps and welfare, they ain't never going to be the United States citizen that they want to be. You ain't going to slap the American people like that in the face and then expect to be a part of us. Hell no! Hell no! I'm glad that the president is doing this. I am completely elated that he's doing this. Anyway, let me move on to another subject matter, folks. Did you all hear that Congress is already planning on passing a spending bill as the September 30th deadline looms here? Now, for all those that were sleeping here for the past couple of months, the president said about a couple of months ago that he was going to potentially shut down the government if they don't have his wall funding or immigration reform in the next spending bill. Now, unfortunately, he has gone back on that because we are so close to a midterm election and we have the Democrats playing unbelievably dirty out here. Unbelievably dirty to the point in which, you know, they're politicizing rape and women abuse, for Christ's sake. So they're not going to add a government shutdown to give fodder to the Democrats, which is very unfortunate because, I mean, I cannot believe that we have a Republican-dominated Congress and Senate and we can't have a border wall funding in the spending bill or we can't have any kind of immigration reform whatsoever. And this underscores why the midterm elections are so damn important, and that's why we need Republicans, Republicans, Republicans all over the damn place, man, so that we can truly get these agendas forward without any kind of ridiculous political spotlighting opposition, because that's all the reason they're opposing this. I mean, especially Republicans opposing any kind of border wall. They're just grandstanding. They're attention whores. They want cameras in their face. We all know we need a border wall, folks. We all know we need immigration reform. But for whatever reason, our government refuses to do it. And what I don't understand is that you've got Democrats trying to argue that, well, you don't understand, Ghost. The people that are here illegally are doing the jobs that Americans won't do. You don't understand. And then if you ask them, well, what jobs are you talking about? Well, they're cleaning our toilets. They're doing the hard labor. I mean, just that statement itself is condescending and demeaning, don't you think? I mean, how come no one goes at Democrats or leftists in that regard? Because lest we forget that illegal immigration brings down the cost of labor. So what does that mean? That means that people that are being paid by employers that are illegal immigrants are being paid under the table below the legal minimum wage. So why are Democrats denying jobs for American citizens, which at the same time lower the wage of labor by embracing illegal immigration? By embracing illegal immigration, you are for below minimum wage labor. I mean, it's the biggest goof of all time. I can't believe that people think that they're so fucking virtuous trying to be pro-illegal immigrant when they don't realize that they're doing corporate America's bidding, for Christ's sake. Who do you think is employing all these illegal immigrants? Huh? These big, huge corporate plants, you know, the meatpacking plants and the slaughter plants and, I mean, you know, the agricultural farms, the corporate farms, all these people. They're paying below minimum wage for these types of jobs. And somehow, the Democrats and the leftists have made this some kind of a virtuous policy, a virtuous perspective that, oh, you don't understand, we should allow the illegal immigrants to stay here because they're just trying to make it for their family. Oh, yeah? So you're okay with lowering the minimum wage? Because that's what illegal immigration does, you stupid moron. when someone like, let's say myself, let's say I'm a business owner that has to use illegal immigrant labor. I don't. But let's just say I did. I mean, I'm benefiting generously from it because I'm paying probably these illegal immigrants $3 an hour to do hard labor that I would probably have to pay an American 10 plus bucks an hour for. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. But you see, these Democrats, they don't talk about that, you know? They don't talk about that. They just talk about, no, I want $15 an hour minimum wage. I want $15 an hour minimum wage, damn it. Man, look at Venezuela right now. Did you know that Nicolas Maduro raised the minimum wage to all-time highs? I think it's like, what, $35 an hour? It doesn't matter. It's meaningless. I mean, it's meaningless. It doesn't matter. I mean, at some point, either the money, in the case of Venezuela, is going to be worth nothing, and you can raise it to $1,000 an hour. It's going to be worth less. Or you menial laborers who refuse to get any kind of skill or any kind of anything, for that matter, to enhance yourself on a occupational basis, you're going to find yourself completely shit out of luck because of automation. I mean, seriously, I mean, have you seen what they're doing in McDonald's now? They got kiosks in McDonald's. They got kiosks in McDonald's, man. And I think that's great. I mean, the less I've got to talk to loser people, the better as far as I'm concerned, man. I'm not even kidding. I think that kiosks at McDonald's is a great idea. A great goddamn idea, for Christ's sake, man. But why is that coming about? Because of this push, this idea for $15 an hour minimum wage. But anyway, folks, back to the initial subject matter here about Congress about to pass a spending bill as the September 30th deadline looms. According to reports, obviously neither party wants to initiate a government shutdown so close to a midterm election. So both sides are ballless in this regard. The spending bill being discussed keeps the government open only till December 2nd. I mean, come on. Are you shitting me? I mean, good God, what a bunch of political weasels in goddamn Washington, D.C. It's only going to keep the government open till December 2nd. Of course, after the elections. And then we're going to be right back to where we are again. Another government shutdown right before Christmas. I mean, give me a fucking break, man. I'm telling you, we need a spending bill that's an annual spending budget, you know? An annual spending budget. You know, we stopped doing those once Barack Obama came into power. You know that? We've been doing this, you know, okay, we're going to keep the government funding until December 2nd. We've been doing this ever since Obama, and it's got to stop. But once again, this spending bill that they're talking about, September 30th is the deadline. They're going to vote on it. They're not going to let the government shut down. And according to reports, they're only going to keep the damn government open or they're going to approve enough money to keep the government open till December 2nd. And of course, the bill includes no wall funding or no immigration reform, which, you know, we got a Republican-dominated Congress and we can't get this done. It's just unbelievably sick and stupid and disgusting, man. I'm telling you, man, it gets me upset. It should get you upset. This is why this midterm is so goddamn important. Anyway, let me move on to another subject matter, folks. Let's talk a little bit about something I've been discussing here for the past week. And I'm talking about the Paul Manafort turning state's evidence. Now, once again, I talked about this, I think, throughout the week last week, and I'm going to talk about it again because we're getting very close to the point in which I suggested that former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig is potentially going to be subpoenaed by a grand jury that has been opened up in the Southern District of New York's federal courts. He's under pressure because Greg Craig, which, lest we forget, he was the former Obama White House counsel, because he had ties with Paul Manafort's lobbying firm for working for the Ukrainian government. And this is why Manafort is pleading guilty, because as I stated in the past couple of shows, that Manafort is turning state's evidence against Greg Craig, he's turning state's evidence against Tony Podesta, and he's also turning evidence against another man by the name of Weber. All right, Vin Weber. Now, Manafort helped pay, and the reason, this is why Greg Craig is connected to this shit. Okay, now listen closely. Paul Manafort helped Greg Craig, helped pay Greg's law firm. Craig's law firm was Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meager, and Flom, LLP. Manafort helped pay $4 million to Craig's law firm to review the prosecution of former Ukrainian president's, the former Ukrainian president's Viktor Yanukovych's rival, Yulia Tymoshenko. Now, I remember covering this back in those days. I was around during that time, and I was always yelling, free Yulia Tymoshenko, because Yulia Tymoshenko was under... She was in prison. She was the former prime minister, former president of Ukraine, and she was jailed by her opposition, who ended up becoming the president, Viktor Yanukovych. And this is where Manafort and Craig cross paths. Once again, Paul Manafort helped pay Greg Craig, former Obama's White House counsel, $4 million to review the prosecution of Yulia Tymoshenko. Now, Craig's attorneys are trying to say that this work, which Manafort had paid Craig's law firm, was not constituted as foreign agent. You know, there's no foreign agent registration. You know what I mean? Because that's what they're being charged with. Remember, these... Manafort, Podesta, Craig, Weber, they were all forwarded from Robert Mueller's special counsel. They were forwarded to the Southern District of New York. Now, the Southern District of New York, believe it or not, and I know this because, you know, there's a couple of people that, I mean, there's a lot of people that used to work for the Southern District of New York that are releasing a lot of the information that's happening there. There is a grand jury. And Greg Craig and two other men are going to be prosecuted. They're going to be subpoenaed here in a minute. I don't know when, but they are. And that's Vin Weber and Tony Podesta. Okay, now Weber's firm, Mercury Public Affairs, and Podesta's firm, the Podesta Group, they both received $1 million to lobby on the behalf of the Ukrainian government in 2012. And at the time, the Ukrainian government was the Russian-backed Viktor Yanukovych. So, with that being said, folks, there's the Russia connection. But the Russia connection has nothing to do with Trump. It has everything to do with Podesta, this guy Vin Weber, and obviously Paul Manafort and Greg Craig. But Paul Manafort has already pleaded guilty. He's turning state's evidence. So he's going to testify if this goes to trial. He's going to testify against Greg Craig, unless Greg Craig can come up with something better that they can give the Southern District of New York to kind of be lenient on his prosecution. Paul Manafort is going to testify against Vin Weber, and Paul Manafort is going to testify against Tony Podesta. And this all comes down to the Ukrainian lobbying situation. Remember, I've been talking about this for a long time. I've been saying, hey, Robert Mueller, why aren't you going after Tony Podesta? Remember, I've been saying that. Robert Mueller, why aren't you going after Tony Podesta? Because Manafort and Tony Podesta, they were business partners in this Ukrainian situation. And now the Southern District of New York is starting to unearth that. So remember what I'm saying here, the prognosticator of prognosticators. Remember, I was talking about this last week, that Paul Manafort was not turning state's evidence against Donald Trump. He's turning state's evidence against these people that worked with him in the Ukraine. Greg Craig, Vin Weber, and Tony Podesta. I hope that Tony Podesta is finally goddamn sent to prison. All right? He is a corrupt, and his slimy brother, they are corrupt pieces of crap. And not to mention, they're really sick, demented people, too. I don't like their artwork, all right? If you want to get sick and you want to throw up a little bit in your mouth, why don't you Google up Tony Podesta's art collection and, you know, begin to throw up at the pedophilic nature that is his art collection. I'm just saying, all right? I'm just goddamn saying! But once again, you heard it here first, folks. Jesus Christ. I'm getting tongue-tied today, for Christ's sake. You heard it here first. And I said it last week that Paul Manafort was not going to testify or turn state's evidence against Trump. And it has everything to do with Greg Craig, Vin Weber, and Tony Podesta. Now, the reason they're putting so much pressure on Greg Craig, because apparently Greg Craig should know a little bit about something as related to this Ukrainian situation, because Paul Manafort paid him $4 million, or at least his firm, you know, at least Greg Craig's firm. What was the firm's name? It was Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meager, and Flom, LLP. $4 million to supposedly review the prosecution of former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych's rival, Yulia Tymoshenko. And, you know, Manafort isn't just going to pay you $4 million for nothing. So I think that right now Greg Craig is in the middle of figuring out whether he's going to turn state's evidence or he's going to wait for the subpoena. Because there's nothing Vin Weber and Tony Podesta can do. They're straight shit out of luck. Be expecting Vin Weber and Tony Podesta to be subpoenaed and potentially taken a perp walk, because they both received $1 million to lobby on behalf of the Ukrainian government in 2012, and this can be testified to by Paul Manafort. And by accepting that $1 million to lobby for the Ukraine in 2012, they are unregistered foreign agents. Unregistered foreign agents. So this is going to be very interesting, to say the least. But once again, I am sick of hearing the media claim that Paul Manafort is like the final stage of Trump's presidency. They don't know shit from shinola. I mean, when I read what Paul Manafort was pleading to and in what court system he was pleading to, which is the Southern District of New York, I knew exactly what was going on here. And it had nothing to do with Trump, and it has everything to do. And I'm glad that we're finally may see some justice, at least to Tony Podesta. And not to mention why. And look, I'm even going to be even more candid with you. The White House, former Obama's White House special counsel, Greg Craig, I think this guy, he knows where the bodies are buried in relation to a lot of different things. I think Greg Craig knows if Obama knew about the Russian dossier, whether or not Obama knew that the Russian dossier was being paid by not just the Democratic Party, because lest we forget, folks, I know this is a, there's so much crap thrown at you, but lest we forget that the man who comprised the dossier, Christopher Steele, the ex-MI6 agent, lest we forget that he was a paid informant for the FBI. Yeah, Christopher Steele was a paid informant for the FBI. So could it be that the FBI could have sent some funds through that informant status to pay for this dossier? I think Greg Craig knows all this stuff. And that's why, if you want my opinion, the Southern District of New York is trying to squeeze him right now on what he knows. And as we've all speculated in relation to the corruption of the DOJ and the FBI, we all feel, at least those of us that have been following this so long, that it went all the way up to the top. That it went all the way up to Obama. And Greg Craig is the man that knows. So mark my words, folks. We shall see whether or not Greg Craig is going to allow himself to be subpoenaed, or if he's going to turn state's evidence and maybe say something that the Southern District of New York's federal courts want to hear. But you can forget about Tony Podesta and Vin Weber. These guys, they ain't got nothing. I mean, they're in some pretty serious shit, to say the least. All right? I mean, Podesta should be doing time, considering that he did not register as a foreign agent and got $1 million to lobby for the Ukrainian government in 2012, which was the Russian-backed leader at the time, Viktor Yanukovych. Man, this is very interesting. Anyway, I try to be as detailed as I possibly can with you folks out there in relation to this stuff, because the lamestream media isn't going to explain this to you. I mean, have you heard and seen the headlines in relation to Paul Manafort and him turning state's evidence? I mean, they're trying to claim that it's the nail in the coffin for Trump, when Paul Manafort has nothing on Trump, man. I keep saying this over and over and over again. Paul Manafort worked for the 2016 Trump campaign for 3 months. That's it. And he was brought in by Roger Stone. He was brought in by Roger Stone because Roger Stone and Paul Manafort are business partners. And Paul Manafort is, I mean, this is what he does for a living. He's like Podesta. You know, he's a consultant. He's a political consultant. That's what he does for a living. And they brought him in. And why did they bring in Paul Manafort, folks? Because Paul Manafort brought the delegates at the GOP convention to the side of Donald Trump. Now, as I stated many times, how did Paul Manafort do that? How did Paul Manafort convince an obstinate GOP delegate system to change their mind and to allow Donald Trump to be their candidate? You don't think that maybe he used some very persuasive political dirt for many of these people? You don't think that he had some dirt on all the delegates that forced the delegates to go into allowing Donald Trump to run for the Republican Party? Of course he did. I'm sure that Paul Manafort used every unscrupulous political tactic necessary against the delegates, so that the delegates could nominate Donald Trump as their candidate. And that's all Paul Manafort did. He didn't do anything else. He wasn't an advisor of foreign policy. You know what I mean? He didn't advise the president to meet with Putin. I mean, he didn't do anything, man. He knows nothing about Trump. Nothing. He was hired by Trump, and that's it. But once again, Southern District of New York's federal courts, man, they have Paul Manafort now as evidence, and they're using him against Greg Craig. Now, it's up to Greg Craig on whether or not he's going to fall on a sword and let himself go down with this and, you know, go down with Podesta and go down with Vin Weber, or is he going to give the Southern District of New York something that will not necessarily allow him to go off scot-free, but with a very, very nice slap on the wrist. And I think that's what Greg Craig is under right now. He's under that type of pressure. He's under that type of pressure. And we shall see what he says. We shall see. But let's be on the lookout for subpoenas for Tony Podesta, Vin Weber, and potentially Greg Craig if he doesn't say a goddamn thing. And that's going to be great, isn't it? Bye-bye, Tony Podesta, you sick fuck. Excuse my French, man, but I hate Tony Podesta, man. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google up Tony Podesta's art collection and get sick to your fucking stomach. Google up Tony Podesta's art collection and get sick to your stomach, man. Give me my freaking water. Anyway, folks, we are now in the third and final hour of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And, of course, I am your host, the man they call Ghost. And once again, folks, I want to thank you very much for tuning in with me. Before we get started on anything else, I'd like to remind everybody to please spread this show link around like wildfire and let everybody you know across the internets and throughout the world, let them all know that True Capitalist Radio is in effect and in the house. And once again, we are live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas Time, right here on the official website of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And once again, baby, I love being independent now. All right, add to your bookmarks, add to your favorites the following, ghost.report, all right? Ghost.report, that's all you got to type in your browser. It's as simple as that, all right? Ghost.report. And once again, before I get into anything else, please follow me on my only social media representation on the internet today, and that's on Gab, folks. If you don't have a Gab account, get yourself a Gab account. And once you do, follow me on Gab under the name Politics Ghost. All one word, no underscores. Politics Ghost is the name to follow. That's right, baby. Politics Ghost. And I want to say what's going on to the True Capitalist Radio chat room once again, baby. What's going on, man? If you want to be a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room, then do the following. All right, go to my Gab account right now, Politics Ghost, all one word, no underscores, and click the subscribe button for premium content, all right? Click the subscribe button for premium content, and once you do, go ahead and private message me on Gab and let me know your Discord chat name, because that's where the chat is, Discord. Let me know your Discord chat name, and I will give you a private invitation in private message right back at you. It's that simple, baby. It's that simple. Let's go ahead and give some shout-outs to people that are chilling with me in the True Capitalist Radio chat room. The God of Rage in the house. Tesla Cyberheart in the place. Stagio, what up, Maine? Metaform, what up, Maine? We got Man Bear Pig in the house. Insane Energy. Holden Capitalist, we got Hawk Late Milk, we got Hans Uberlander, Distilling in the place, Death to Bureaucrats, Capitalist America, we got Bro Dog, Boat in the house, Billy Kosick, Aesthetic, Curly McWhirly, and Hoodie in the house. What's going on to everybody else that I did not mention? Cheers to each and every one of you that are in the True Capitalist Radio chat room, or if you're just chilling with me right now on the broadcast, thank you all very much for tuning in with me. And once again, I do want to say thanks to those that are out there throwing cryptocurrency into the cryptocurrency wishing well. There was somebody who threw in two Ethereum Classics. Thank you very much. There was somebody who threw in a little bit of Ethereum. Thank you very much. So, folks, if you appreciate the broadcast, you appreciate the content, you can go ahead and take some appreciation in crypto and throw it at the cryptocurrency wishing well at ghost.report, all right? Check out ghost.report and check out the cryptocurrency wishing well. Throw some cryptocurrency, make a wish, and all your wishes will come true, and not to mention you'll be supporting the broadcast, etc. Once again, thank you guys out there for hooking it up. And once again, thanks to whoever sent 50 Quantum. Man, cheers to you as well. All your dreams will definitely come true, man. And this is what helps the broadcast continue forward. So it doesn't matter how much you throw in, man. It'll help the broadcast. Because, look, yours truly was banned years ago, a couple of years ago. I was banned from Twitter. I'm banned from all social media. I'm banned from transaction companies. So at some point in time, I think that the only way that a controversial capitalist right-wing broadcast like this is going to be able to sustain itself is by exclusively going and accepting cryptocurrency, man. So once again, thank you guys, and I appreciate it, and it aids the broadcast tremendously, man. Thank you very much, all right? And by the way, I've been getting some messages from peeps about the Inner Circle, and, you know, I want to join the Inner Circle. Look, I'm not going to let anybody join the Inner Circle anymore unless you're a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room so that we can find out who you are, we can talk to you, you know, that sort of thing, man. I can't I can't just allow people we don't know anymore just in the inner circle, for Christ's sake, man. So, look, if you're interested in the inner circle, you're going to have to join the True Capitalist Radio chat room for a minute so we can find out who you are, you know, so we can do some vetting, make sure that you're competent enough, make sure that you're, you know, doing things that are trying to progress your life instead of being some detriment on society. So that's all I have to say about that. I've been getting a lot of emails from Ghost.Report asking about that, so I'm answering it now, all right? And by the way, if you're in the True Capitalist Radio chat room and you're interested and you've hung out with us, you've talked to us, you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, let me know, and we'll talk about it, man. Anyway, let's go ahead and continue on. I've got a little bit of things to talk about here in the third hour. I want to talk a little bit. I'm not going to go into, well, hopefully not too extensive, into the hashtag MeToo movement. Now that it's turned from the hashtag MeToo movement to the hashtag Why I Didn't Report movement. Have you heard about this? Oh, yeah. Why I Didn't Report was started by Alyssa Milano. Y'all know who Alyssa Milano is, right? The little girl from Who's the Boss? Well, I find it ironic that Alyssa Milano started this Why I Didn't Report, claiming she was sexually assaulted and didn't report it because of yada, 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 yada. Okay? I find it ironic because wasn't it Alyssa Milano every time in the 90s I would flip on Cinemax after about 10:30 at night? Wouldn't it be Alyssa Milano doing like softcore porn and shit? I mean, I remember that shit! I remember! I remember Alyssa Milano in the 90s, I mean, after 10:30 at night on Cinemax, we used to call it Skinemax, because after 10:30 it was all softcore pornography, for Christ's sake. I mean, I would be afraid to flip the movie channels on the TV, because I was afraid that I'd flip through the Skinemax and my kids would be watching and, you know, they're like, oh my God, there's a naked woman. I mean, you know, that kind of crap. But Alyssa Milano was the broad on Skinemax that was like literally doing softcore porn, and now all of a sudden she's trying to validate herself as some woman who was deflowered because she was sexually assaulted? I mean, it's the same thing as Rose McGowan, man. How can you women sit here and give me this garbage that you've been sexually assaulted and that, oh my God, and all this shit, when all you women did during your whole careers was sell your sexuality? I mean, that doesn't even make any fucking sense, all right? You got sexually assaulted and yet you are selling your sexuality. I mean, you know, you dumb broads, by doing this, I mean, it kind of invalidates how pure you are into saying that, oh, I was sexually assaulted. I mean, how hard is that? That's kind of hard for me to believe. You know? It's kind of hard for me to believe when you're on Skinemax doing fucking softcore porn. And look, if you don't believe me, I don't know what to search. I don't know how you would search for this, but I'm telling you, there are so many nude shots of Alyssa Milano during these years. You can literally see a 21, 20-year-old Alyssa Milano buck naked on Skinemax. I'm not even kidding around. And now we're supposed to be like, oh, no, look, she got fucking raped. She got sexually assaulted. Oh, shut the fuck up! I'm tired of this crap, man! I mean, what is the left trying to do to the social landscape with this hashtag MeToo, hashtag Why I Didn't Report? What is the left trying to do? Are they trying to become moralist when it becomes women? Look, this ain't Little Women, all right? This ain't the fucking movie Little Women, broads, all right? I mean, y'all aren't in the kitchen, you know, making cookies and, you know, making meals and shit and being courted by men in a very gentlemanly sort of way. This ain't that fucking way anymore, broads, okay? I mean, you women, you want to have it, all right? You want to have it both ways. You want to be able to flaunt your sexuality. You want to be able to be a sex pot, you know? But at the same time, you want to pretend to be some virtuous, delicate flower that should be courted by a gentleman and have doors open for you and have men singing to you while you're there at your window and shit like that. It doesn't work that way, women, all right? once you make the decision that you're going to be a slut bag, there's no going back from that, all right? All right? I mean, I'm sorry. There's no going back from that. You're a fucking slut bag, and there's no...
Well, there was that one time when I was sexually abused.
I mean, why didn't you say something? All right? Why didn't you say it when it happened?
I was afraid. I didn't know.
Okay, let's say you were afraid, Alyssa Milano. Let's say you were afraid because you were supposedly sexually assaulted. Why the hell did you then start doing Skinamax movies, for Christ's sake? Huh? And look at this. You got people in the True Capitalist Radio chat room finding, like, full nude shots of Alyssa Milano. Because I'm telling you, I'm talking full nude. I mean, you can see this woman's vajayjay at 20, 21 years old, man. Good God. And you know when she became mainstream again? Do you remember, what was that movie? That movie with Mark Wahlberg, Fear. Remember that movie? Remember that movie, Fear, that made Reese Witherspoon a star? What did she play in that movie besides some stupid, useless, disposable road trash whore? Huh? That's what she played. That's what she played. A disposable road trash whore. And look at this. Some people... I'm not going to... I can't repost that. That's pornography, man. Look, somebody just gabbed at me. Alyssa Milano nudes. I mean, look at that, man. That is unbelievable. And the caption picture is a nude, topless Melissa Milano about to get her tits sucked by some woman. Huh? Oh, that's a delicate flower if I've ever seen one in my fucking life, right? Oh, yeah. Alyssa Milano, you're talking about a delicate flower that we got to fucking take care of. Get the fuck out of here. Get out. I'm tired of this shit, man.
Why I didn't report it. I didn't report it because I was scared.
Get out. What is the left trying to do to our political landscape? Or fuck our political landscape, our social landscape. What are they doing? What are leftists doing with this? And not to mention, folks, I hate to say this, but a majority of American women, a majority, are falling victim to this politicization of gender. You know that? You know, this whole woman power bullshit. This whole, I'm going to wear a pussy hat on my head bullshit. This whole, I'm going to wear a pussy costume bullshit. I mean, what are they trying to do? I mean, you know where this is headed, right? I mean, you don't have to be a brain scientist to take a look at the dominoes that are going to fall in the future. I mean, okay, it's woman power, okay? Well, one day it's going to be men power. You want to know why? Because men are all turning fucking gay, okay? They're turning gay because you women are... You don't know whether you're coming or going. You don't know whether you want to be slut bags or you want to be dykes. You want to be courted. You want to be... You don't know what you want. You do not know what you want. I mean, if you take a look at the modern feminist movement, you have a variety of different variants of feminism. You've got like... You got the feminist slut walks. And if you don't know what a slut walk is, well, by all means, go ahead and Google that up. I mean, women are taking slut walks on a consistent basis. You know, I mean, I'm not joking. These are scantily clad women marching so that they can stop slut shaming. How dare you slut shame? And then you've got these disgusting bull-nose, bull-dyke, muff-diving feminists that are basically in it just so that they can get as much fresh meat as they possibly can from younger women. And then you've got these women who just hate men because for whatever reason, they made the decision to allow whatever Tom, Dick, and Harry to penetrate them. And I don't know, I guess they left them, they defiled them, they left them with a child and they're not there. Whatever the case might be, they are scorned of men, and they hate men, and they want to do whatever it takes to destroy men because they have that hatred. They blame all men for their own fucked up decisions that they did. Remember, women, if you are pregnant and have a child and you don't have the father around, there's no child support, lest we forget that sexual, the whole idea of coitus, you know, the concept of a sexual liaison, it all comes down to you, women. You're the one that has to voluntarily open up your legs and to be penetrated by a man so that that man can, you know, have the ability to supposedly pregnate your ass. And if you don't want to get pregnated, well, then use a contraceptive. Use a prophylactic. Use a condom. You're the one in control, ladies. I mean, nowadays, you're a protected class. And if you don't think that you're a protected class, take a look at this fucking Brett Kavanaugh fiasco. So what I'm saying is that if you have a child from a deadbeat father, or you were defiled by a man that you didn't know whether or not you wanted to get that kinky with or not, it's your fucking fault. All right, broads? It's your fault. You're the one that makes the decision on whether or not you're going to open your legs up and allow a man to penetrate your body. And if somebody unwarrantedly penetrates your body, well, guess what? That is rape. That is rape. So what I'm saying is that women need to take a little bit more responsibility with what they do with themselves, okay? I mean, if you're on a date and you go up to the guy's room or you go into the guy's house, what do you think that is expected? You could easily say, no, I don't think so. I got to go over here, and et cetera. I mean, if you put yourself in predicaments in which, especially when you're dating men, you dumb cunts, okay? When you put yourself in predicaments where you lead the man on into believing that there is some kind of physical affection that's about to happen, and you're in their room, you're in their house, you are in a situation that is beyond your control, then you have to either hope that that man is just, you know, just wants to hang out and cuddle, or you better hope that, you know, he wants to cook you a meal. I mean, I'm just saying, or you better hope that you want sexual relations. I mean, I'm tired, man. I'm so tired of this Me Too, why I didn't report bullshit. I'm tired of it. And you know what this really does, man? It really just completely negates real rape. Real rape. Man, folks, out here in San Jambonio, I think they caught the dude, but for a while here, for the past couple of years, there was a serial rapist in San Jambonio, in which he would stake out the women. There's a lot of single women out here in San Jambonio, all right? And they all are independent. They all work, you know, and they have their own apartments. You know, I mean, you're a working girl. You do a lot of things. You gotta work. You got to pay for your apartment, etc. Well, this guy would stalk these women to the point in which right before they were about to enter their apartments, as they open their door, he pushes them in, locks the door, and then brutalizes them and rapes them. And this has been happening. I'm not too sure if it's still happening, but this was happening about last year sometime. Now, that, my friends, is disgusting rape. This is rape. When you, as a woman, had no control over the situation that ended up comprising the situation of rape. You had no control over it. You were going into your home. You know, you were going into your own home, and this man brutalized you. This man stalked you like prey. It undermines those. This Me Too and this, you know, why I didn't report, it undermines those types of rapes. And those types of rapes are the ones that should be scorned. I mean, those are the kinds of men that should be chastised and castrated, etc. Because we don't need those types of people in civil society. But what they're constituting is rape now, folks, which is mere allegations of now things that you did when you were a teenager. Oh, Jesus Christ, man. I don't know where this is headed. All I can say to you young gentlemen out here is that if you don't want to take a chance on an American woman, import the women, okay? Import the women, whether it's a mail order bride or you're corresponding with someone else on the internets. Make sure you video chat with them. Don't be catfished. But import your women. Import the women. Because I'm telling you, folks, you want women that actually have a sense of wanting a family. You want women that appreciate the family unit. You want women that aren't American and that think that, oh, well, I can do anything I want. I'm an American woman. I'm a free bitch, bitch. You don't want that, man. And I'm telling you, when enough of you young gentlemen start importing these women, all of a sudden, these liberal women that are all for open borders and pro-immigration, they're going to find themselves against immigration real fast once these women start realizing that American men don't want them anymore. And that American men don't want to have anything to do with them because of the way they are, who they are, how they act, you know, what they expect. This whole, oh, I'm afraid to be in the same room with this bitch because she's going to pretend or say that I raped her or that I grabbed her tit or something of that nature. It's what it comes down to. And I am encouraging, I implore all of you young gentlemen, import these women. Import them. Import them. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, let me move on to some goddamn international relations news. We're kind of running out of time a little bit, but I just can't emphasize it anymore, gentlemen. All right, import the women. I don't want any of you gentlemen to get messed up in this shit. And it's obviously very easy to do so. And as far as I'm concerned, gentlemen, don't even give women respect at this point unless they start asking for it in a genuine, unified capacity. Because these women all think that they're so strong, that they can do so much, that they can do anything men can do. Right? So why even treat them with kid gloves anymore? Why even open doors for them anymore? Why? Why don't you just treat them like you would treat a piece of shit dude on the street? I'm serious. I mean, I'm not joking around. And then you'll find out that women are going to be shocked that men are not being gentlemanly anymore. You want to know why they're not being gentlemanly? Because of you! I'm just trying to give you young people a heads up, man. I mean, I feel bad for you guys. I'm married. I've been married for a long time, so I'm not concerned about myself at all. I'm talking about you gentlemen out here. You gentlemen are being robbed the opportunity of understanding women, having a girlfriend, potentially getting a family, etc. You're being robbed of this. So import the women, all right? Import the women. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, let's get to some international relations news here. Did you hear what happened to Iran this past Saturday, folks? Did y'all hear this? For those that don't know, the Iranian military was having a parade. And this was right after the president of Iran basically took a shot at Trump, stating that, oh, look at us, we are having the military parade, and you are not. You are not, Trump. How do you like that, Trump? Iran is having the military parade, and you are not. Well, call it fate, call it karma, whatever. Call it black operations. Anyway, Iran's military was on a parade and was attacked by four gunmen as they were conducting their military parade, killing 29 people, injuring and wounding over 60 people. Now, the attack, where this was in the Iranian city of Awaz. Now, what makes this very interesting is that the city of Awaz is where one of Iran's major oil fields are. And because it's a major oil field, that's why you saw an increase today in the oil prices, because this basically says to the market that the oil fields of Iran aren't as secure as they like to claim. And if the oil fields aren't secure, then they're going to be overtaken by some entity, some nation state, somebody, and that could potentially put a very, very big monkey wrench into the oil industry. Now, who took credit for this Iranian military parade attack that killed 29, wounded over 60? ISIS. What did I tell you all about ISIS? What have I been telling you all? I've been saying that ISIS is now not going to be used against American interest anymore, because that was the policy of George W. Bush and Barack Obama, was to use the ISIS assets, or the Al-Qaeda ISIS assets, against the United States. Now, there's a variety of different reasons why they did that, but under Donald Trump, that is no longer the policy. Now the policy is to utilize our Jihudi Islamic jihadist assets and to use them against our foes. And haven't I been saying this was going to happen, folks? Haven't I been saying it? I said that we're going to start seeing ISIS start hitting up foes of America. And I talked about how Russia got hit up a few weeks ago in Chechnya. ISIS took responsibility for that. We're starting to see ISIS in Afghanistan. I mean, at some point, in my opinion, China is going to have a major terrorist act on its, either in its soil or on one of its international interests. But I can guarantee you that there will be an ISIS attack on China in some capacity, because this is our new policy as far as our black operations are concerned. And I've been saying this. Haven't I been saying it? That's who took responsibility for the Iranian military parade attack. Once again, in the city of Awaz. The city of Awaz is one of Iran's major oil fields. So, I mean, there's a lot as it pertains to this attack, because it, first of all, it shows that Iran, as I've always said, that Iran's domestic situation is very precarious and it's less secure than the terrorist satellites that Iran funds. You know, the terrorist satellites like the Houthis in Yemen, Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the troops that it has in Syria. I mean, they're more stronger out there. These terrorist satellites that these Iranians fund are more stronger than the domestic Iranian Revolution Guard. And the proof is in this attack. I mean, you couldn't get any more brazen of an attack while attacking Iran during a military parade when it's trying to show off its military might. I mean, did you see the Iranian army scatter like a bunch of bitches when they were being shot at by four gunmen? That's it. Four gunmen did that. And I told you, didn't I say that ISIS was going to start hitting up the foes of America? Didn't I say that? Well, of course, folks, Iran blames the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Israel for the attack. And that they used one of their, what did Iran say? Quote unquote, their terrorist cells to hit up Iran. And according to Iran, they're going to respond very, very drastically, but I don't think they can. I think this scares the bejesus right out of Iran right now. Because I guarantee you, Iran didn't think that they could ever get hit up like this. They never thought they could ever get hit up. They thought they got it all sewn up. Well, now they're in a very precarious situation now, and I hope this wakes up Iran into understanding that there ain't no games anymore with America, boy. You understand? Our black operatives are in your goddamn fucking government. We're in your country. They're in your goddamn country, and there's nothing you can do, Iran. And I'm telling you, we are so close to overthrowing your regime, I can taste it. I mean, your regime can't feed itself anymore. You're having a currency crisis. There's no more groceries on the shelves. I mean, you're having a very, very bad time. You got rolling blackouts on a weekly basis. Lots of bad things economically happening in Iran right now. And the reason is because of the United States sanctions. So, in summary, Iran once again got hit up during a military parade, killing 29, wounding 60. And the reason I am bringing this up is because I told you so, didn't I, folks? Y'all remember, if y'all are avid listeners, you know I've said that ISIS is no longer going to be hitting up the United States' interests anymore. Because there are assets. It's our black operative assets. We created ISIS. We created Al-Qaeda. I mean, it goes back to the Russian-Afghan war in the late 70s, man, the Mujahideen. I mean, these are our assets. And now we're using them against our foes. And, man, you couldn't get any more of a brilliant attack, as far as I'm concerned, than just unloading on the Iranian Revolutionary Guard during a military parade. Unbelievable. So, as we see that Iran is finding itself in a very precarious situation, that this ain't the 80s anymore, man. You know, this ain't the 70s and the 80s. I mean, Iran's either going to have to shit or get off the pot. And what do I mean by shit? That means they either need to sit down with Trump. And if they don't sit down with Trump, well, then their whole goddamn government is going to be overthrown. And as you can see, it's not going to be that hard to do so there, Iran. So you better start thinking twice before you start flexing nuts once again. But as I prognosticated in 2017, folks, I said that the new Middle Eastern policy of Donald Trump's administration was to pit Saudi Arabia against Iran. And you know what? We're getting that much closer, isn't it, folks? We're getting that much closer. I mean, folks, I know international relations like the back of my hand. That's why I can prognosticate these things. That's why when you listen to the True Capitalist Radio broadcast, you're listening to the straight political dope, man. Ain't nobody saying these kinds of prognostications on an international relations basis. It's because I know what's going on out here, folks. I'm not viewing international relations from a naive perspective. I mean, one thing you have to understand as a student of international relations is that the world is in a constant state of anarchy. Anarchy. I mean, that's what this all is. I mean, look at what's happening. And you, as a foreign policy creator, have to be able to navigate your nation state through this anarchy to not only get the most, and I'm talking about natural resources and military backup, respect, but also acquire as much geopolitical power as possible. Geography as well. Anyway, folks, I have to say, prognosticator strikes again. And like I said, even though this is Iran and ISIS is taking responsibility for hitting up this military parade, be looking out for ISIS to do something to China. Because China, first of all, they're pursuing their Muslim minority in the country, which is the Uyghurs. Okay, the Uyghurs. Secondly, they have signed this agreement with the Catholic Church, which I'm sure pisses off a lot of Muslims. So you combine the fact that now the Chinese government and the Catholic Church are together in some kind of partnership capacity. So if the Chinese continue to pursue this oppression of the Muslim minority, then it's going to justify some level of jihad against the Chinese because, you know, they're the ones that they're the ones who are embracing Catholicism. And by the way, I hate to go off on this tirade here, but why is China once again signing agreements with the Catholic Church, even though China is supposed to be an atheist communist state? Folks, y'all remember in The Exorcist, right? The Exorcist, the movie, the original Exorcist, when the old man is saying, "May the power of Christ compel you! May the power of Christ compel you!" There's a part where he subdues the so-called devil. And he goes, "May the power of Christ compel you. May the power of the martyrs compel you." Now, he's talking about the Catholic martyrs. Now, the Catholic martyrs, believe it or not, are celebrated in a variety of different Catholic masses throughout the year. Now, if you take a look at who in the fuck the Catholic martyrs were, they were Chinese! The Catholic martyrs were Chinese! So it makes fucking sense now, all doesn't it, huh? It makes sense why the Catholic Church wants to do business with China now, does it? Huh? Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, let me move on. Let's talk a little bit about Syria. You know, that big whole clusterfuck in the Middle East. Anyway, Russia, who is obviously getting more and more committed into this Syrian theater, it has delivered S-300 anti-aircraft missiles to Syria. Now, obviously, that has raised some red flags with the United States, but what this represents, in my opinion, folks, is that the alliance, or I shouldn't even say an alliance, but the diplomacy, the friendship between Russia and Israel is no more. And this deployment of S-300 anti-aircraft into Syria validates what I'm claiming here. Because lest we forget, last week we had Israel shoot down a Russian plane over Syria, and Israel tried to give some makeshift explanation. Russia doesn't believe them. So now we've got Russia delivering S-300 anti-aircraft missiles into Syria. Now, this is going to put a major, major strain. Major strain on this relations between Russia and Israel. And as you can see, folks, if you take a look prior to this shoot down of this Russian plane last week, I mean, Russia and Israel were like hugging and kissing. I mean, do a Google image search. You know, do a Google image search for Russia, Vladimir Putin and Benjamin Netanyahu. You know? I mean, do a Google search and take a look at how many times Vladimir Putin is kissing the ring of goddamn Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, Russia was trying to take the custodial role that was once held by the United States over the whole Palestinian-Israeli situation. I mean, that's how much Russia, at one point in time here in the past couple of years, has been so shoved fucking Israel's ass. But now, I don't think that's the case, because who is out there with the majority of jets over Syria committing airstrikes? It's Israel. We hear it every day that Israel is committing all kinds of airstrikes in Syria, hitting Bashar al-Assad's troops, hitting Iranian positions, etc. I mean, they're doing it on a daily basis because they're getting hit up. I'm talking Israel. They're getting hit up in the Golan Heights area. And the Golan Heights, they're getting hit up with rockets that are being propelled from the Syrian-Israel border. And according to the rockets, or at least the material of the rockets itself, once it's exploded, it's Iran and their material that's creating these rockets that they're sending in from Syria into the Golan Heights. So that's what's justifying Israel going into Syria and bombing the hell out of Syria. Well, Russia deploying these S-300 anti-aircraft, be expecting Israel planes to potentially be going down, because this is a big deal here. This solidifies the long-term, this solidifies like the long-term slog that Syria is about to become. You know what I mean? I mean, Russia is digging its heels in with this move here. Digging its heels in. And once again, the strain of Russia-Israel relations is pretty much strained to as much as you could possibly imagine with these deployment of the S-300 anti-aircraft. So we shall see. All right. Once again, I keep telling you, keep your eye on Syria. It's like a Mexican standoff with all kinds of countries. You got Israel in there. You got America in there. You got Turkey in there. You got Iran in there. You got Russia in there. You got Bashar al-Assad's troops in there. And all of them got guns to each other's heads, and it's a really weird situation that's happening in Syria. But as I stated on many shows before, I personally believe that the foreign policy of America is to kind of goof Vladimir Putin into this quagmire that'll eventually be the Syrian war. You know? I personally believe that. I personally believe that Russia is being goaded into this Syrian conflict, and it's going to be a quagmire for Russia, and it's not going to be able to leave. Because, I mean, it kind of created this weird clusterfuck that's in Syria now. Remember, Russia was the common link, with the exception of America, Russia was the common link to everyone that's out there in Syria right now. Remember, they're supposed to be protecting Bashar al-Assad, the Russians, right? They're supposed to be allied with Iran, which is also out there in Syria. They're supposed to be allied with Turkey, which is also out there in Syria. And they're supposed to be cool with Israel, which is also out there in Syria. So that's why I kept telling you, and I will keep telling you, look at this Syria situation. I mean, things are getting hairy by the day. Things are getting hairy by the day, for Christ's sake. Anyway, last but not least, let's talk a little bit about China. Now, aside from the United States literally bitching China around and making their economy fall down the tubes because we're not trading with them anymore, we're throwing tariffs on them. And I told you all last Friday that not only is the United States throwing tariffs on China, but we recently threw sanctions on China. And why did we throw sanctions? I talked about this on Friday. Because China made a military hardware purchase from Russia. And because Russia has sanctions on it, because of the whole U.S. voting election meddling or whatever the hell they want to call it, because the United States has sanctions on Russia, which means no one that is supposed to be an ally or no one that's supposed to do business with America is supposed to do business with Russia because Russia has these sanctions. The Chinese bypassed those sanctions because we're in this trade war tiff and decided to buy military hardware from Russia, which basically violates the sanctions that the United States has against Russia. So in response to that, the United States has thrown sanctions on China. Now, because of this, China, we were supposed to have a military talk with China here recently. They have since canceled those military talks. And it seems as if China is very perturbed by these latest rounds of sanctions. And I want to be honest with you. I'm not against a somewhat cold war against China. I mean, China needs to be taken down, for Christ's sake. And the reason I'm saying this is because the United States and our consumption is what created China. I mean, it was our consumption that has created the metropolitan areas that China has in its country. We're the ones that paid for those big skyscrapers and those skylines out there in China. It was our consumption. And I'm glad that we have a president now. And I've been talking about this. Remember, I talked about trade deals for years. As a matter of fact, I was the only one ever talking about fucking trade deals in 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012. But now we have a president that's concerned about trade deals. And we have put it to China. And I told you folks, worst case scenario, these people don't want to trade with us. They have more to lose than us. I mean, China is in a very precarious situation as we speak in their economy because they're missing that $600 billion that the United States sends to them on an annual basis in a trade deficit. They're not getting it now. And how are they going to supplement that? How are they going to supplement that money that they expected to come in? I'm sure that the communist government of China centrally planned for years expecting that imbalanced trade deal of the United States to sustain itself indefinitely. I mean, that's what goddamn communists do. They just expect things to happen forever. They don't anticipate shit. And I guarantee you that that's what this is all about. That China, because of its own central planning policies, it can't renegotiate Because if it renegotiates, it screws up everything that they did to centrally plan for their country. So I don't mind a little bit of a cold war with China. As a matter of fact, I think China needs to be broken down back to size. All right? And by the way, why do you think that, was it 2 weeks ago, I was highlighting the fact that we had Secretary of State Pompeo going to Pakistan and going to India? We have since signed a military agreement with India, and as a result, I'm sure, you know, China's shaking a little bit, because China has been doing whatever it takes to be friends with India. And why is that? Because India is not only a nuclear power, but it has as much, if not a little more, population than China itself. So it can match them man for man. Unless we forget, Pakistan used to be a friend of China when it historically came down to times of crisis, but China has turned its back on Pakistan in favor of India, because it doesn't want anything with India. So now you've got Pakistan turning its back economically on China. So right now, as we speak, China is surrounded by hostile actors that are nuclear. Lest we forget that Pakistan is a nuclear power. I know it's hard to believe, but yes, they are a nuclear power. And who else borders China? North Korea. That's why I said, I mean, North Korea, let's say that these talks that the president was going through and has been going through with Kim Jong-un, it didn't go anywhere. And Kim Jong-un kept throwing rockets in the air and kept testing nuclear weapons. Well, that says a lot more to the impotency of China than it does anything else. Because remember, China's supposed to be this main, big, huge superpower in the region. And it's supposed to be feeding Kim Jong-un. It's supposed to be Kim Jong-un's one of his only outlets of economic productivity. And if China can't control North Korea when it gives it its money and its food, then what kind of authority does China really have in the region to begin with? And that's why I always said I wasn't really concerned about Kim Jong-un throwing rockets in the air and nuclear testing, because it makes China look like a chump. That's what it does. It makes China look like a chump. But I guarantee you, now that China's taken a more aggressive stance towards America, I guarantee you, watch the Islamic terrorism that is going to be inflicted on China here in the very near future. Just like what happened here with Iran. All right? Iran just got hit up in a fucking military parade. Just watch. Just watch. This is a whole new America. Anyway, folks, we got about 15 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and take some questions. It's a Monday. So if you got some questions to ask, I'll be more than happy to answer them. Since we got about 15 minutes left in the broadcast, you can go ahead and gab at me, Politics Ghost, all one word, no underscores, to ask any question. Or if you're in the True Capitalist Radio chat room, you can go ahead and ask a question while you're in the chat room. Either method will suffice. That's what we're going to do here for the last 15 minutes on this Monday edition, episode number 620. What is this? It's September 24th, 2018. Man, September 24th, 2018. Good God. Anyway, I want to say cheers to everybody who's out there. I've got some water only. It's unfortunate, but I got to cleanse the body out. I got to stop drinking. I know, all that stuff. So anyway, cheers to everybody out there on this Monday. Some pretty high-quality H2O, if I don't say so myself. And once again, if you'd like to ask a question to me, yours truly, from True Capitalist Radio, I'll be more than happy to answer. All right? So anybody who's out there, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and put it on. It's a Monday. If I got cancer, how would I treat it? That's a serious fucking question. First of all, I would not get any kind of chemotherapy. I would not get any kind of radiation. I would try to handle it holistically. And, unfortunately, if cancer does kill me, it'll kill me at a slower rate than the chemotherapy does to those that actually go that direction. And lest we forget, if you take a look at the journal, I think it's the Journal of Oncology, in which they did a study on chemotherapy, and it said 97% of the time, 97% of the time, chemotherapy doesn't work. And, you know, they're admitting it to you now. I mean, they're admitting that,
well, you know, if you have chemotherapy, you know, it may come back in like 10 to 15 years, you know, but hey, 10 to 15 years is better than nothing.
Are you kidding me, man? I would treat it with holistically. I don't want to get into what I would be taking or anything of that nature, but I would look into, for you guys that are out there, I would look into a vitamin called B17. Take a look at that, which is literally in the seeds of apricots, peaches, apples. Take a look at that and do some research on that. That's probably what I would be doing, amongst a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm thinking about going vegan. And what I mean vegan, like a high, not vegan vegan, but like most of my calorie intake will be vegetables and fruits here for at least 5 to 7 days. Because believe it or not, veganism is not a means of sustaining your nourishment. On the contrary, what it is, it's a cleansing, a purification method. For instance, if you ever hear somebody who just turns vegan, all right, just turns vegan, you'll hear all this positivity coming from that. Oh, I've never felt better in my life, and I feel so healthy. I mean, that's what veganism is supposed to do. If you give yourself high dosages of nutrients, and let me tell you, there's a lot of nutrients in fruits and vegetables and berries and seeds and all this other shit. I mean, if you give your body the proper nourishment, your body is a resilient vessel, man. I mean, it will aid and cure itself. I mean, not necessarily full-fledged cure, but to the point in which it's better than some chemically induced pharmaceutical. And let me explain something. I never understood this, and isn't this pretty much science that if you add, in any biological system, if you add a chemical element to a biological system, doesn't that alter the whole biological system itself and make it somewhat artificial? You see, this is why I don't take any medications. I don't take any pharmaceuticals. I really don't. I mean, I maybe have taken maybe about 10 or 15 pills in my entire life, and most of them have been like aspirin. I think I've taken a couple of antibiotics because I had the flu in the year 2000, and that's about it. So what I'm saying is this. I'm saying, why is it that every time there's a biological problem within our bodies, we go to the chemicals of the pharmaceutical company to remedy it. And we wonder why there's so many side effects, right? We wonder why there's so many goddamn side effects, because you're adding, all right? You're adding a chemical solution to a biological problem. And all I'm simply stating is that your body has the ability to fight off a lot of things on its own. You just have to give it the nutrients, the minerals, the vitamins necessary to do so. Anyway, let me take a look at what's going on here. Let me take a look at the chat room. Should I drop a new article on the new Kavanaugh accuser tonight? Well, if you have it, go ahead, man. How does regime change in Iran help in America? Well, you have to understand, it doesn't help us in America per se. It helps America's dominance within the world society, meaning we become the superpower, and well, we are the superpower, and at the same time, it's all games, man. I hate to say this. That's what international relations is. It's all a game. You all have to know this, right? I mean, you all have to know that all this bullshit, war and discontent, it's all a game. It's all it is. So how does it help Americans in America? Well, it really technically doesn't, other than the fact that it solidifies the continuity of America in the international stage. You know? That's what it does. Anyway, let me see. What else? When should we worry about artificial intelligence and singularity? Well, you know, it's a very interesting question. I think that we are almost at the cusp of singularity as opposed to artificial intelligence. But as more years go by, we keep getting closer and closer to that fine line from algorithm to actual artificial intelligence. So I would say another two or three generations before we start having to really worry about it. Although we're starting to see it slowly integrate. And for you folks that are unaware what singularity is, that means that we as biological human beings integrate ourselves with technology to make our lives better, make our lives last longer, etc. So I think that you should be worrying about it now, but unfortunately, there's so many powers that have so much money, time, effort, energy, human resource into developing artificial intelligence and singularity. I can't tell you. You know? I can't tell you. All right, what else do we have here? Hold on, I've got somebody else right here. Did you see the video of Texas father-son shooting that guy? Thoughts on it? I haven't seen it. I have not seen the father-son shooting. I haven't seen it. What do you think of blockchain-based crypto lottery? Won't the average Joe flock to crypto the minute they hear lottery? I don't know. That's a very good question. I have no idea. I don't like lottery systems in general. You know, it's a government racket. You know, and that's all a lottery system is. It's a government racket. It's the equivalent of the mafia running the numbers. Yeah, I'm running the numbers. Yeah, you want to buy some numbers? I'm running the numbers. I mean, that's basically what it is. All right? So you're giving up the steak to become a fruitcake? I knew you could do it, Ghost. Look, I'm not becoming a fruitcake, you moron. You don't understand. What I'm trying to do is cleanse the body. Now, when you just throw nothing but, you know, vegetables, fruits, herbs, spices, you know, things that are just nothing but nutritious things that your body needs to absorb so it can correct itself, then I mean, I'm going to have to do it. Look, I've done a lot of bad habits. You know, I smoke cigars, I drink, you know, I eat a lot of steak, you know. And what I'm going to do is I'm not going to give up steak. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that the proportion of calories that I intake is going to be, at least for 5 to 7 days, larger on the portion of vegetable and fruit and herbs and spice intake as opposed to animal fats. And I'm not doing this because I'm going to become vegan. I'm doing this because I want my body to heal itself up, man. I want my body to heal up, for Christ's sake. I've done a lot of damage to the body. I want to do it. I want to heal it up. Believe it or not, if you don't believe me, if just do it for a couple of days. Why don't you just eat nothing but, like, mostly, and you don't have to stop eating meat, all right? But just calculate what your intake is as it pertains to calories, and make sure most of your calories come from fruits and vegetables as opposed to animal fats, and watch how good you'll feel for those 5 days. Now, I'm not telling you to just turn vegan all the time. I'm not telling you to plan or have that type of eating strategy forever, because if you do become vegan, okay? If you do become vegan, then what's going to happen is that at some point, that nourishment that made you feel good at the beginning of you becoming vegan is all of a sudden going to start to become an overload to your body, and then it starts to become toxic. You know? I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm not even kidding around. It starts to become toxic. Ask any vegan who's been vegan for more than like 3 to 4 years, all of a sudden it starts becoming toxic. And many vegans start having horrible health problems. And they can't explain why until what? They start eating animal fats again. So once again, I am just going that direction so that I can heal the internal parts of my body. You know, because I want my internal body parts to heal. Remember, this is all biology in here, man. It's all biology. The only way that you're going to solve a biological problem is with biological intake, not chemical. Anyway, let me continue going on. Oh yeah, here's the father son. What is this? And I doubt this is the official Burger Planet on Gab. But who? What is this? Father and son kill their neighbor in front of his wife? Oh my God! Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. I'm looking at this right now, folks. It looks like they're in the back alley. There's some old man without a shirt. He's got a handgun in his hand. In back of him, it looks like his young son. Looks like he's got a shotgun in his hand. And I have no idea what the hell's going on here. There's a guy in front of these two people holding guns, kind of yelling at this father and son duo. This father and son duo are both shirtless, considering they're both obese men. And I guess the person that's yelling at them is threatening the people with the guns, and the people with the guns are saying, "You better not threaten us." What the hell is this? Oh, man. Yeah, they shot him all right. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, well, this is pretty shocking footage. I just saw a man get shot in front of his wife. His wife is screaming like hell. Stand your ground propaganda. I want to be honest with you. I have to look at that again. But as far as I'm concerned, just based on the video that I just saw, I don't think that's justification to shoot somebody. You know, because typically, if you got to pull out a gun to shoot somebody because you're scared for your own safety, you're not supposed to kill somebody, man. You know, it's supposed to incapacitate the victim or the perpetrator, I should say. You know, so you know, I don't know about that. I got to watch the whole video again. You kind of threw that one on me there. So I have no idea what the hell I just watched there. So I'm gonna hold my judgment. But just based on what I looked at without actually hearing it, I'm not too sure about that, man. I don't know. I just saw somebody start shooting, and that was about it. I didn't see any kind of altercation. I didn't see any of that. That's a very freaky video, by the way. You know, that's a very freaky video. Anyway, folks, we are now, what is it, 2 minutes into the fourth hour. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and wind down the broadcast at this point in time. Oh, wait a minute. It says that there's the guy who got shot through a bat at the dad who had the gun. Man, I don't know, man. You know what? I'll talk about that on Wednesday, because this is obviously something I haven't seen. I haven't heard about this. So very, very, very shocking video, to say the least. All right. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this Monday edition of the True Capitalist Radio broadcast. And, of course, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with me, man, all right? Because this is straight political dope now, man. We're not out here, you know, conducting ourselves in some kind of a Fruit Bowl 4chan capacity where we're trolling and, yeah, look at me, I got memes, and yeah. I mean, we've got to be serious as a heart attack when it comes to our political ideology and our economic theory of capitalism. And we've got to continue to expose the truth of what these Democrats are. And what are they? They are nothing more than goddamn anti-American trash. Anti-American trash. These leftists, these Democrats. And a vote for Democrats in 2018 is a vote for anti-America. It's a goddamn vote for anti-America. Anyway, folks, I'm going to be back this Wednesday. Okay, and I hope that you tune in with me 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas time. Once again, follow me on Gab, folks. Of course, the name to follow on Gab is Politics Ghost, all one word, no underscores, Politics Ghost is the name to follow. And if you want to be a part of the True Capitalist Radio chat room, all you got to do is go to my Gab account right now, Politics Ghost, and click the subscribe button for premium content, all right? Click the subscribe button for premium content, and once you do, go ahead and private message me on Gab and let me know your Discord chat name, and I'll give you an invitation to the True Capitalist Radio broadcast chat room. It's that damn simple. And once again, folks, I do want to say that if you appreciate the content that is being conveyed on this broadcast on a consistent basis, then if you could find some way to take a look at the True Capitalist Radio cryptocurrency wishing well at ghost.report, all right, the cryptocurrency wishing well at ghost.report, go ahead, take a look at that cryptocurrency wishing well, and throw some cryptocurrency in there, and all of your dreams will come true, and not to mention you'll be helping the broadcast, all right? Thanks to all those that are throwing into the cryptocurrency wishing well. You don't imagine, you can't even imagine how much that helps the broadcast continue to sustain continuity, all right? Because I'm telling you, I don't really get paid much anymore from this broadcast. I don't get paid dick. It went from making $5,000 a month to not getting paid anything. So anything that anybody throws into the cryptocurrency wishing well gives yours truly some ambition to continue broadcasting at this point. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Anyway, folks, thank you all for tuning in with me. I'll be back this Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Texas Time. Once again, the official website, ghost.report. Make sure to spread that around the internet and throughout the world. And once again, if you appreciate the underground political content, go ahead and take a look at the cryptocurrency wishing well on ghost.report. It'll be very much appreciated. Anyway, I am out of here. I will see you all Wednesday. 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, baby, long live the capitalist army and death to feminism! Death to socialism! And death to communism! I'm out of here! You sons of bitches better be here this Wednesday, baby. You understand that? You better be here this Wednesday so you can get the straight political dope and the best damn economic coverage on this side of the internet, baby. I'm out of here! Woo!